The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side, issue number 126. And John, what are we talking about this week?
Falcon Winter Soldier? Carnage,
what
black,
we do.
White, and blood?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, we are doing the Snyder Cut. The biggest piece of news. And we actually get into, is it the biggest piece of streaming news ever? That's part of the... I mean, almost 1 hour discussion.
I say
alone,
that section of the show is longer than the rest of the show put together. So
I think it is. I think
no,
right.
It definitely is. Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty long. So check that out in the timestamps. You could jump right to it. I think that's how we open the show too. In a few minutes, you're going to hear us say, "Jump to the timestamps." You want to go to that? But yeah, we do Kryptonite. But quite a bit of news too. We got some news.
We had
but
a lot of news.
We blasted through it.
Yep.
Good time. Good time. I think we almost went to blows there over Black Widow.
Oh, I don't know about that. We definitely have a difference of opinion.
Yeah, that's early on, so don't miss that. We actually, it got heated. We were putting our dukes up there.
I got more heated about Peaky Blinders, to be honest with you.
I know. I was scared. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
I was like, because usually you're like, that's it. I'm out. I'm like, I think you were actually getting up.
Don't disparage the Peaky Blinders, man.
I didn't disparage. There's another one. Wow. This very hot and heavy show. Yeah. So
I was going to Pierce Morgan this thing and just get up and walk off camera.
I know. I was like, I'll have to make up a whole
done,
show again.
Throw away the headphones and... hang them up.
Oh, all right. Let's get into the store for all of this action.
All right.
Hey, John, how are we doing this week? We're going to talk in slow motion. We're going to do the show 10% in slow motion.
I guess that's because we watched the Snyder Cut. Are we all going to have our Everybody Hurts song montage, too?
Yep. We're going to get to so much Snyder Cut. If you don't want to listen to anything else, just go to the timestamp, skip ahead. It'll be Kryptonite. We're not even going to talk about it in the main show because it's basically all spoilers anyways. I don't know who hasn't seen this that really cares, right?
Right.
So, but right off the bat, it's called Snyder Cut. This is a Snyder Cut edition, but we have comics to get to. We've got breaking news to get to. I put a whole show together, and what's the first thing you tell me? I got more.
Well, you know, I do the news stops for no one, you know.
Nope.
I send out the notes, and then stuff keeps happening, so.
Jeez, I feel like CNN over here.
I know it.
Comic Wolf, News Network.
Wolf Blitzer.
Yep. Such a cool name.
Yeah, it is.
was
Wolf.
Definitely Snyder Cut talk coming. A little Falcon Winter Soldier. I don't anticipate, we haven't talked at all about it, but I don't anticipate a big conversation on that. Do you?
No.
No. Okay.
I do not.
Not a bad one, but just not a big one. Not
exactly.
This week.
Exactly.
We got way too much other stuff to get to. So, all right, John. How was your week? Let's start with some pleasantries. How was your week, John?
My week was good, actually.
Yeah.
Can't complain. Yeah.
Any more grandchildren?
Bad. No. Not this week.
I gotta check. You know, yeah, it's been a couple weeks.
I mean, you never know.
I know. I don't know.
they just drop in and out.
I've barely been on social media, and I haven't been paying attention to Facebook. For all I know, you're a great grandfather by now. I don't know.
Oh, don't put me there yet.
Okay. Oh, that's where you draw the line.
At great grandfather, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm only 51, man.
Hey, that would be a feat.
I would have had to start early.
You tried.
Yeah. I mean, I did start early, but not that early.
Right. So, all right. Yeah. How was the store today? Was it busy?
It was fairly busy. I mean, good. It was fairly okay sales-wise. It was very busy people-wise in the sense that this was a week where there was a lot of comic store conversation. Let's just put it that way.
Really?
Like, I had a lot of stuff to do. And not necessarily in a good way, to be honest with you. Like, I had a lot of stuff to get done today. And I had a lot of people that just wanted to be around for a long time. So,
oh, man.
Yeah. It was just one of those days. Like, I don't normally mind, but I had orders to do. I had notes to get ready, books to read, stuff to put away. And I just had a lot of people that wanted to be around.
That's good, though.
I mean, I'm one of those guys that, like, I'm like a magnet. Like me. I'm like a magnet, man. Like, people just want to gravitate towards me. I have that personality, you know. So, I just
that
can't
animal magnetism.
That's right.
Yep.
That is right.
Yeah, you need to hire somebody just to stand out on the floor and talk.
I do. I do. I need that.
What are you offering?
Comics.
Oh, okay.
I'll pay you in books. So
I've had many jobs like that. I need cash.
I need cash money, huh?
Yeah.
Especially if you have to fly to Texas every Wednesday. So, and then you got to get home in time to put this show together so that we can do all this.
Yeah, I know. But speaking of comic conversation, though, I was thinking that today. I was busy at work. I had a full day. I don't get to go to Friendly Neighborhood anymore. They don't exist, sadly.
Right.
So I don't get my comic conversation.
Yeah.
So you're it.
This is it.
But I'm not kidding. I look forward to this. This is where when you send me the news of the week, like this week, we happen to have a lot of crossovers, like a lot of the stuff I already had too. So there's nothing additional after we're done with the news.
Right.
But you bring a lot more, and it's this. I literally, just like your customers, I'm coming here like, all right, this is where I'm getting my news.
Right.
Because especially now we're heading into summer. I'm busy every day. I can't be on my phone in my truck warming up and stuff. This is it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm enjoying this. Hopefully our listeners are too. But if they're not, oh, well, it's all for me.
Hopefully our listeners and our viewers at this point.
And our viewers, yes. Yeah. Speaking of which, on YouTube, we've gone into double digits, John, in subscriptions.
All right.
Hitting subscribe.
All right.
So if people want, they can, you know, they can email us at brightside@gmail.com.
Tens of viewers,
yes. Yeah. And you can go to YouTube and hit subscribe. But we are into the double digits now. So that's really, really cool.
Yay.
We're growing.
We are.
We're getting there, John.
What? One week, one person at a time, but we're getting
there. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to get to your breaking news?
I am.
All righty. What do we have first? I know what we have first.
You do know, yeah. So the first thing is, this is breaking news. Yeah, breaking news, because this actually broke after I sent you the notes today. Looks like they have cast Pierce Brosnan in the role of Dr. Fate in the upcoming Black Adam movie. So that's an interesting casting choice. I like Pierce Brosnan a lot, but not the first one that comes to mind when I'm thinking of superhero action films at this stage in his career.
Why?
I
love it.
Now,
he's an
depending
actor.
On the version of Dr. Fate they use, you know, there's been multiple iterations, and Kent can't think of his last name. Kent something is like the most well-known Dr. Fate. And he is an older gentleman. So I would imagine that's the version that we're going with
right.
for the movie. So, I'm excited for it. I like Pierce Brosnan a lot. Just wouldn't have been – like if you would have given me a choice of like 10 actors – I don't think you would have come in at number 13 or 14. So,
well, that's the thing is a lot of times we'll guess people and we'll have ideas in our heads, but then they'll cast somebody, and I think they nailed it. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. I think. How often does he have the helmet off though?
Well, that's the thing too. Like in theory, anybody could be Dr. Fate, right? It's like the Mandalorian, right. You know, you could put anybody in the suit. So I would imagine he gets some amount of screen time without the helmet, but
right.
But that is an iconic helmet and costume, you know, so we're going to see it, I'm sure, predominantly with the helmet on. I mean, the helmet is Dr. Fate, really. I mean, the helm of Naboo is...
Yeah.
It is what makes Dr. Fate. So you really can't go without it.
Exactly. So yeah, but you, as soon as we got on here, you told me, you're like, oh, I got one to add. And I was like, I like it. My first impression, like right away, I was like, I actually like that. But I love Pierce Brosnan.
Well, I do too. He's a lot of
Remington Steele. Yep, I mean, come on.
James Bond.
Yeah, I know. And he was supposed to be James Bond, but he was contracted.
Too busy being Remington Steele.
To Steele. And I wanted him so bad then.
Basically James Bond on TV.
You know? Yeah, it was, who was, Timothy Dalton.
Yeah.
He wasn't even supposed to be James Bond. He never would have been James Bond.
No, it would have, right, it would have been Pierce.
It would have been Pierce Brosnan. Yeah. So he couldn't get out of Remington Steele, so.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to move along?
I am. So
I like this one.
Yeah, a young actress that I'm not familiar with, Casey Walfall, has been cast in the lead role of Naomi for the upcoming CW show of the same name. So, I have no strong feelings one way or the other because I don't know who this actress is at all.
Right.
But, you know, this is a show I'm looking forward to. So,
she looks just like her.
Yeah,
I think. The image that I pulled up for YouTube, it's got her and the a picture of
the comic,
the comic, and they, I mean, the same hair, the same. I mean, it looks just like her. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And looking at her actual face, you're like, oh, I can't wait for this. Knowing the character, and
in the show, like I said, it's a very good story and a really good show.
Awesome.
You know, I would imagine the show is going to go in a lot of directions that the comic didn't go in because there was only six episodes.
Six books.
Yeah. So like that's the pilot really. And then we go from there.
Yeah.
So, you know, but there's a whole world to explore with this character. So, should be really good.
If it's an hour long series, I'd say you could probably get two episodes, three tops out of the six books.
Probably.
Yeah. Maybe develop it a little bit more, but it's.
I mean, you could go lock and key, and you can get six graphic novels in a nine episode season. So, you know, it just depends. It just depends on how you want to go.
Yeah. Or Umbrella Academy, and really expand on. You know, you're like, that was it. That's all I read. So
yeah.
But all right. Next we've got what?
This falls under the rumor category, but it looks like HBO Max is aggressively trying to expand their Game of Thrones universe. And the rumor is that they have three more spinoffs in the works, in addition to the Targaryen spinoff, which we get sometime next year. I don't know if this includes the animated series that we also had rumored, we spoke about a few weeks ago. But, I'm all for this. Like, Game of Thrones is obviously a very lucrative property for HBO. Now, this is all off the cuff, really, because there's no novels, there's no story background for anything other than what we've already seen. So, they can go
love
in
the world.
Right. And they can go in all kinds of directions. And, I'm really excited to see where they go with this. As long as they don't, like, I don't want to see any more stories in the timeline that we've already seen. You know what I mean? Like, I don't necessarily need the Arya Stark spinoff, although maybe I do. I don't know. But,
I kind of
want to see, like, the Targaryens takes place a couple hundred years before, you know, what we've seen. And I'm really interested in things that are going to play with other time periods, because the story
the
we saw
incest and dragons.
Yeah, well, I mean, what more do you need? Yeah, but well, that's all it has to be. I don't know what else you need. So,
I think there's a never mind. this is a family friendly show.
It is, yes. We'll leave it that way.
Yeah. So, all right. This one right here, I've been wanting to talk to you about for a couple of weeks, and I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah, so, well, I guess maybe you knew this before I did then, because this was news to me this week. But Krypton alum Wallace Day has been cast as Kate Kane on the Batwoman series, replacing Ruby Rose. So I was not aware that this was happening at all, or that Kate Kane would ever be seen again by anybody other than potentially Ruby Rose. This begs the question to me, if you're going to go to the trouble to recast Kate Kane, why didn't you do that in the first place? Like, I don't understand the Ryan Wilder Batwoman at all if you're going to bring Kate Kane back into the mythos of this TV show.
Right.
Seems very odd to me. Now, I don't watch the show, and I don't follow the story at all.
I know the story.
I know that she was presumed missing from a plane crash or something, and that's how all this came about. But, you probably know a little bit more about this than I do because you watch the show. So
yeah, this is one of my – probably my most guilty pleasure. I actually enjoy this show. The problem with the show is it's not even close to Batwoman. It's not a Batwoman story anymore.
Right.
And it's just Batwoman on hold, really, is what it is. But I'm still enjoying the show. And, like, I knew just by following the story, they're like, they have to be bringing Kate Kane back. Because the way the story's going, they're not going to just, like, sorry, we didn't. I won't spoil it for anybody, but if you're an episode or two behind, but it's just, you knew that Kate Kane was coming back. Now, the fact that it's not Ruby Rose, I think, this is just my opinion, but I think they were holding out hope that maybe she would come back.
Maybe.
And that's why they put this placeholder in there. And they're trying, I mean, even the way they wrote the story, there is no way they weren't bringing Kate Kane back from day one, the way the story was written, right?
Okay.
So I think they were holding out hope for Ruby Rose. She said no. And they're like, okay, we're moving on. And that's what we'll do. And I think this is what I'm really looking forward to the rest of the season now, knowing that this is what's going to happen, knowing who, you know, Kate's going to be. And then we'll move forward from here. And I think what it's going to end up being is it's going to be a combination of the two, because now we have the new characters, do they take, what's her name that's playing Batwoman right now? Do they take
Javicia
her off the show?
Leslie?
Yeah.
I mean, from what I read in this article, at least, they said they had no plans to put Kate Kane back in the costume. Like, it doesn't seem like she's coming back to be Batwoman.
Really?
That's what the article said. Now, again, who knows? You know,
right.
This news comes from, you know, such esteemed sources as Comic Book Resources and Superhero Hype. So I don't know how much they know from the inside, but.
So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out then, because, like I said, the story that we're getting right now, it's not even a Batwoman story. It's not even it's if they hadn't started a year ago, there's no way you could even call this show Batwoman.
Right.
It's kind of not even a Batman world type story. It's very everything's different about it. And but I still enjoy it. I just have to know. I just know that this isn't really a Batman Batwoman story. So
right.
But it'll be interesting to see how this goes.
Yeah, well, you'll have to let me know.
I most certainly will.
All right.
All right. We have a promising young woman.
Yeah, so this is good news. So young woman director Emerald Fennell has signed on to direct the Zatanna movie on HBO Max. So that cements that it's a movie, I guess, because last week I was under the impression that Zatanna was getting a series.
Right.
Which is a little disappointing to me, honestly. I would have much rather had a series than a movie, but I'm still, you know, I'm about anything they do with the character. But, you know, I haven't seen Promising Young Woman, so I don't know anything about this director or that movie, but I know that it's getting a lot of attention and, you know, a lot of buzz. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, it's a, this looks really good. Really, we're getting closer.
Yep.
It's been many years in the making.
It has. Yes, it
but
has.
We're getting closer.
Yeah.
And,
and once again, is, casting is key here. So I keep, yeah, I keep saying,
with all of these stories of like HBO Max developing their, you know, universe, their stories, and Disney Plus, who a year, 2 years, 5 years, who's going to have more?
I think HBO Max, to be honest with you.
Do you?
On their streaming service, yes.
I
don't know if they'll pump out the theatrical releases as quickly as Marvel does, because Marvel seems to have a much more concrete plan
schedule
ahead of them already.
Yeah.
Although, as we'll get to in a bit, they can't stick to any schedule that they put out, but they have one.
That's not their fault.
We'll get to that in a minute. It kind of is. Yeah, I don't know. I would think
right there.
I would think with the HBO, with the streaming part of it, because again, Disney Plus is going to split their time between Star Wars and Marvel and Pixar and things like that. And not that HBO Max won't develop things that aren't superhero related too,
elsewhere.
But
well, they have the CW, they have right. HBO Max, but that's what I mean. All of those DC properties, I agree with you. That's what I would have said too, or that's what I will say right now. I think DC is going to have more properties developed in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, you know. I feel like they're going to pump them out a little bit faster. Now, whether they're the quality of Marvel's, I don't know, because Marvel's started off really well with, obviously, Mandalorian, we have two seasons under our belt, WandaVision, and now we've got Winter Soldier.
Well, and I also think they have to work harder in the streaming space.
Who's that?
HBO Max. Like, Disney, because subscribers are just going to come to Disney, right? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they don't have to work as hard to get subscribers.
Right. Yeah. People are just HBO Max for their kids.
Right. People are just coming to it, right. And, you know, they're going to subscribe. Whereas HBO Max, I feel like they have to work a little harder and put out more frequent content. Like, Disney Plus launched and went, like, a year with nothing. You know, they had The Mandalorian on launch, and then they didn't have anything until The Mandalorian came again the next year. Like, I don't feel like HBO Max could survive if they went an entire year without putting any new content on their service. So,
but that's the thing is Disney Plus does a lot more for little kids. So while we had nothing for that whole year, there was a lot for little kids. Just the existing content, you know, so they're happy with that. They're getting subscribers.
Well, if you're going to talk about existing content, HBO Max has a pretty deep library too.
Yeah, but how many adults go back and watch all that stuff over and over like kids do?
Yeah.
You know, so. But yeah, I agree. I think HBO Max is going to pull away with the content numbers, maybe not the quality though. But we'll see. And it'll be fun to sit here and judge.
Well, like already we've got now, you can't necessarily say this is what we're going to get with HBO Max versus like DC Universe. But we've already had a few seasons of like Titans and Doom Patrol. And while they were very well done, I don't think they hold up in quality to WandaVision or Falcon Winter Soldier. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, you're right. Nope, you're right. I mean,
they were well done. Again, don't get me wrong.
They're like overdone CW shows.
Exactly.
Whereas even one episode of Falcon Winter Soldier, and we'll get to it later. But
right, but it was cinematic.
It was more cinematic. Yeah.
Right.
Well, just the framing alone. I mean, you've got the 2:39:1 ratio. You've got, I mean, just the way they shoot. It's like they shot it with like movie cameras. So, whereas, let's not knock DC too much.
No, again, I'm not knocking anybody down to lift anybody up, but already the comparisons are there though.
So All right. What do we got now? Ooh, this is a shocker, John.
Yeah, this comes
shocker.
From...
Shocker. Everybody, sit down.
This comes from the Who Didn't See This Coming department. Netflix has ordered a Berserker movie and anime series starring Keanu Reeves.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you were going to quiz me. Who do you think it's going to be?
I feel like...
Come on.
I feel like this was in development before the comic was released.
I feel like this was the pitch to get the comic.
Yeah, I honestly, I feel the same. The comic is only a vehicle. Yeah, the comic is a vehicle for Keanu Reeves to get another franchise. Not that he right. needed the comic. Like, he didn't need the subterfuge of making a comic because he could walk into any studio any day of the week and pitch his idea and get a franchise. But, yeah. But you know, it was his pet project to do the comic. But
did I hear this correct that this is the number one selling book for Boom of all time now?
Oh, I would say without doubt. Like I didn't hear that, but I can't imagine yeah. anything they've ever had that will beat it. I mean, Something Is Killing the Children has sold like something like 500,000 copies already, but I mean they're in 12 issues.
Right.
You know. So
But I think I don't think it's that great. It's him.
Well, it's
not
yeah.
that great of a book.
It wasn't.
I mean, it's a good book. Don't get right. me wrong. It's fun. It's an adult book. But people, it's well, selling
exactly.
because it's
Keanu's
Keanu Reeves.
It. Right.
He wrote it.
And he is it. I mean, he is Berserker.
It. It's like
right.
the image I put up on YouTube is like it's him as John Wick, but it's the same beard and mustache and it's like
right.
the same thing. It's practically
again,
the same
it's just
hair,
John
too.
Wick without the dog, so.
Yeah. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
But, oh, I mean, and what it's multiple properties, too, right? They're doing animated.
They're doing a
they're
movie,
doing
a live-action movie. Now, he's yep. attached to the live-action movie for sure. I'm not sure if he's attached to the anime series.
I heard he's voicing it.
But I would say, yeah.
I did
he's,
hear that.
But I would
yeah.
say he's probably voicing that as well,
yeah.
so.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, really, how many words does he say anyways?
Well, yeah. Whoa.
He could probably record the entire the entire series
in an afternoon.
This podcast.
Yeah.
And talk less.
Yeah.
All right. And we have an echo in the room, John.
Yeah. So last week in back issue bonus, we talked about Daredevil number 6, I think, from 2015
yeah.
or so. I should have pulled up my notes, but I didn't. And we talked about that being the first appearance of a character called Echo. And at the time, I said, somebody must know something about Echo that I don't
yeah.
know. Well, apparently Echo is if not the main villain, one of the villains in the Hawkeye series. And it has now been announced that they're developing a spinoff series for Echo on Disney Plus. So that
yep.
is why. That is what somebody knew about Echo that I didn't know. But now you all know as well. So
there you go. Look yeah. at that. Bring in the news.
Bring in the news.
And
now
here
a Muppet
we
News
go.
Flash.
Here we go.
Here we go. Yeah, so looks like Disney has moved once again the premiere date for Black Widow. Was supposed to be May 7th. Now it is going to be July 9th. In addition, they have announced that this will also debut day and date on Disney Plus Premier Access. So a lot of people were saying that they were following HBO Max's model, but that's not quite true because HBO Max doesn't make you pay an extra $30 to get
right.
to watch it. Yeah, I'm perturbed by this.
Why?
Because I feel like they doubled down multiple times on the fact that they were going to stick to their guns and they were going to bring this movie out in May. And, you know, here we are now. In the middle of March, end of March, let's say, and they've decided
yeah.
not to do this. I understand what's going on in the world. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, we're at a point now where in Texas, we're open back up to 100% capacity. Movie theaters are open across the country. And I feel like this was what the movie theaters needed to get back on their feet. was this movie coming out in May. You know, by May, you know, a very significant percentage of the population will be vaccinated if they choose to do so.
Right.
Most theaters will be open to a minimum of 50% capacity by then. And I feel like this is something that should come out. Like, this should come out in May. And if they're that hesitant about it, then it should come out in May, and they should do their day and date premiere access in May. What I think doesn't matter. Obviously, they've already done this. But I feel like this has angered fans who have waited now more than a year for this. It angers theater owners who were probably hoping this was going to bring some revenue into their struggling businesses.
See, I don't know if it does. I don't know because let me give you the other side of it. It's only another 2 months. We've already been waiting. And I actually, the premier access idea kind of makes sense in that by July 9th, the difference between May, what is it? What was it? May 7th?
May 7th and July 9th. It's 2 months.
It's 2 months, but I mean, but COVID wise, most of the, if not all of the country, according to, you know, the reports, will have had the opportunity to be vaccinated by July 1. Okay. So by beginning of July, July 1, we should be able, because they're talking about we could have normal 4th of July.
Look, I understand the business aspect of it, but
we can open at 50% capacity probably in May or possibly 100% across the country on July 9th. That's a big difference in the box office. And then they say with the Disney, with the Premier Access, it gives the people that are scared an opportunity. You're not scared. I don't mean it in a bad way, but people that are still a little hesitant, you can still catch it, but you're going to pay $30 to do it. And I think that $30 premiere access is good for the theaters because now it's an actual choice. It's not like HBO Max where I'm just staying home. It's free. Why would I go? Right? So I think it's a best of both worlds situation, and I think the theaters actually have a better opportunity across the country. Some places are doing better than others right now and will be in May as well. But across the country, I think the numbers will be higher in July than they would be in May, so the theaters will get a bigger boon out of it.
Yeah, but here's the deal, and this is the next news story. So Shang-Chi, which was going to premiere on July 9th, now gets moved to September 3rd. So I would argue that right now in the month of May, Disney has no dollars coming in, right?
Right.
Yep. If they released Black Widow on time, then they would have some portion of Black Widow money coming in. And then in July, they would have Shang-Chi money coming in. And then in November, October, whatever, they would have Eternals money coming in. Like, they would still have money in July. It just would be different money. It would be Shang-Chi money instead of Black Widow money.
Add up the four movies that are coming out. You have Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals, and Spider-Man 3. That's just for this year. Eternals and Spider-Man 3 are not affected by this. I think Eternals was all along, well, not all along, but under the new schedule, was November, right? November 5th. Shang-Chi, that would have got under this scenario, if it comes out July 9, probably is going to make the same money in July that it would make in September, which is a Labor Day weekend. That's a big weekend for moviegoers, yeah. Okay? So Shang-Chi will make possibly bigger money in September. The big difference here is Black Widow has the opportunity of making more money in July. So for those four movies, they stand to make more money just by delaying Black Widow those 2 months.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm perturbed.
Oh, I know.
I mean, you can spin it any way you want, but
I'm not spinning anything.
I'm still irritated
by business. That's business. I know you want
business is money now. Like, I'd rather have, this is like the wimpy, I'll pay you on Tuesday for a hamburger today thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's waited like, this long and
money now is better than no money. You know, they're hemorrhaging money every month according to their reports because their theme parks aren't really open and they're losing billions of dollars every month. So take some money now.
But, John, you have four movies coming out this year. Four.
Right.
If it doesn't change, all you're doing is taking the one movie and you're actually going to make more money on it by moving it 2 months.
Maybe. You don't know that. They don't know that. Like,
no, but
no
you have
guarantee,
a better shot of it. You know? You have a better shot of it the further away you get into everybody being vaccinated. You have a better shot of making more money. It's not like you move everybody up 2 months and throw in a fifth movie before the end of the year.
But
it's
here's
still
the,
four
but
movies
here's the
for
thing.
The year.
Let's say in May, right, this movie comes out. And it does... I don't know, because I don't know what this movie would do. Like, Black Widow is not going to be a billion-dollar movie. You know, it's not Endgame, right? So let's say this movie was going to do $700 million, right? Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, so it comes out in May, and it does $250 million in its theatrical run, and it does $450 million on Disney+, right? That's $700 million. Push it till July, and it does... $450 million in the theaters and $250 million on Disney Plus. That's $700 million. Like, the potential to make the same... Anybody that wants to see the movie is still going to see it. Either way, they're either going to watch it at home or they're going to watch it on Disney Plus. So, I don't necessarily think the pool of money is any bigger. I think it just shifts from one platform to the other. And if I'm Disney, I'd rather have the bigger chunk come on Disney Plus... because I make more money that way, as opposed to the theaters having it and making a lesser percentage.
I don't know. I would guess they make more money by more feet going, more eyeballs at the theater, because each set has to pay. Whereas $30, you could have four people watching it.
Maybe.
That's, yeah. You know what I mean? So, in just but by them
people,
making this
But again,
move,
if four
makes
people
me
go
think
see
that,
it in the theaters at... $10 a head, that's $40 to the theater, but Disney probably gets $10 of that, as opposed to the family paying $30 to watch it on Disney Plus. So,
well, yeah, no, I don't think, but John, just by them doing this, lends me to think that they make more money at the theater. Otherwise, they would just release it on Disney Plus for $30.
Well, you're probably right. You're probably, because, I mean, it's definitely a money
it's
situation.
Like just a,
you know.
Yeah, it's that, I mean, what they're doing,
but I feel like the same amount of people want to see it either way. And
yeah, but they're trying to get more casual people, and the deeper we get into the vaccination, the more casual people will go and see it. Yeah. You know, the diehards like us, you and I have already been to the movies. We've been going to the movies since they opened back in September.
Yeah,
and we're not the ones they're trying to get. They're trying to get the people that maybe don't even, hey, what's this Black Widow thing? All right, let's go. I haven't been to the movies in a while. Cool. Yeah. That's what they're trying to get. So, all right. Okay, so I think we talked that one to death.
We did.
Want to talk about it again next week? I'll put it in the notes.
Sure.
I'm sure it'll
I'll feel the same. So
it'll get rescheduled.
By
week,
next
they
week, it'll have different dates.
May.
Yeah, it'll be rescheduled again. So right. I just feel like they have now pushed this movie to the, like, there's a real chance that they move this movie so many times that nobody cares about it anymore. You know what I mean?
No way.
I think so. Yeah.
No way. Because we all went, we saw Wonder Woman, and that got moved even more. Before it got moved pre-COVID. So
right,
we
but
all
it,
went
but
and
it
saw
got
that.
Moved, and then it kind of, well, I guess I take it back. It got moved several times, but.
Multiple times. Yeah.
But.
So, all right. One more piece of news.
Yeah. So,
this is nice.
Yeah. In the vein of aging actors being cast in villain roles in Shazam, related movies.
With that.
Yeah. Yep. Helen Mirren has been cast as the main villain in the Shazam sequel. She's going to play, the goddess Hespera. So, I like Helen Mirren quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Should be good.
Yeah.
I'm excited there's a Shazam sequel.
Me too.
And it's coming soon.
Yep.
Maybe.
Maybe. They're in
right
after
Black
in active
Widow.
Production, so.
Yeah.
It should be coming. They need to hurry up and get it going before Asher Angel is like 30 years old and can't be Billy Batson. Because, like, the chances of there being a Shazam 3 are dwindling exponentially.
Exactly.
You know, they need to hurry up and get this franchise off the ground. They need to Harry Potter this thing if they're going to do more than more than two movies.
Right.
So
exactly. So, oh, well. All right. Is that it? That's it.
That is it.
Right. Yep. That's all we have. All right, John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. Amazing Spider-Man number 62, the 1 in 10 Weaver design variant, which shows Spidey's pretty awful new costume, is the cover to pay attention to here. It looks like it's selling for double ratio at about $20. Future State Teen Titans Ruins, issue number 1. This is basically the reprint of Future State Teen Titans 1 and 2. This is sitting at pretty much cover price, but there are a few copies that are starting to drift up a couple of bucks on eBay, so this might be one to watch. The Future State versions of this, at least issue 1, was very hot and really in demand, so this could continue to rise as well with time. Harley Quinn number 1 looks like there's a couple of covers here to pay attention to. There's a team variant which is selling for between $10 and $11. So, I mean, that's not too far out of line for cover price.
Right.
But the there's also a green thank you variant that was actually produced by Lunar, the distributor, and sent one per store. And that one is pretty solidly sitting between $85 and $100. So definitely the one to get if you can. It's one per store, so your store probably got one, whether they have it and you want to pay that much for it.
Did you get it?
I did get it, yes.
Yeah, it's very vibrant.
It is, yes. I still have it, actually. I didn't sell it today, so.
Hope you don't lose it.
Well, yeah, I won't lose
you
it.
Can't.
It's
glowing.
It's pretty bright.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing, just with the green in the back, and they took the title off the top.
Yeah,
so it's pretty cool.
Really nice looking cover. Yes.
Yeah, they both are. But yeah,
like I said, definitely one to keep an eye on. All right, cool. Sonic the Hedgehog issue 38 has a 1 in 10 variant. You should know the drill on these by now. Selling for between $15 and $20. That's been the same for every issue for the last year or so. And then in line with that, same kind of issue, Star Wars Adventures number 4 has the 1 in 10 variant. This also selling for between $15 and $20.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That one's a nice one. The sketchy one. It's a sketch. Black and white.
Yeah, I'll see it when I watch the show back.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. I don't get 10 copies of that book.
Okay.
All right, Star Wars Dr. Aphra, issue number 8. I also don't get 25 copies of this book, so I haven't seen this either. But the 1
I
in 25...
this is the right one. Pretty sure.
The 1 in 25 variant for this is selling for between $45 and $50, so pretty much double ratio on that. And that's kind of par for the course with this title, too. Because, a lot of stores aren't ordering 25 copies, so there's not as many of these around. And then speaking of not as many of these around, Taskmaster number 3, the second printing, has a 1 in 25 variant that's selling for between $45 and $50.
Mm-hmm.
And then last but not least, we have Usagi Yojimbo, issue number 17. The main cover, it looks like it's selling... I'm sorry. The main cover, it has some interest, but it's selling for right around cover price. But the 1 in 10 variant here is selling for between $20 and $25. So, again, cool. In line for these IDW 1 in 10s, it seems like.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So, shout out to Dr. Joe. He helped me out this week. He texted me out of the blue. He heard that we're doing the... You know, he's listening to the podcast. I don't know if he's watching on YouTube, but he gave me a link. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but I just used it. It helps getting these photos that I use for the YouTube page. Yeah. It it wasn't 100%, but it made my job a little easier. So
cool.
Appreciate it, Dr. Joe. Thank you.
If only I could have done something like that. I probably could have.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was.
I mean, Previews has them all. Previews World should have them all.
Not all of them, no. It's this. The link that he sent me, that he told me about, it's a comic. I can look it up. I'll have it.
Well, Previews actually won't have any of the DC stuff.
And they don't have, sometimes it's hard. What's hard for me is to find the variants.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just Google it and I'll get it. But then there'll be, remember last week I said, oh, this one's a little bit hard to find because I don't know what they are.
Right.
So people will be like, look for this. And they'll just show you the regular cover. So I'm trying to get as accurate as I can.
Yeah.
And this,
honestly,
this
the best place to
help,
go
but,
if the site doesn't have them is probably eBay. Because if you just type
in...
Yeah,
but they have the crappiest pictures.
Well, yeah, but you can see what it looks like, and then you can go back to Google and find the right image.
That's what I end up doing a lot of times, so.
Because they're always for sale on eBay, so.
Yeah.
All right.
You ready to get into back issue bonus?
Back issue bonus. We have Captain America Sam Wilson, issues number 3 and 5. Looks like these are the first appearances of a character called Joaquin Torres. And I guess he was the new Falcon in that series. Don't know what that has to do with anything, because I don't know how that would tie into the show necessarily.
I'll bet we're going to find out.
But, Yeah, usually a week after these notes, I find out what they, what they had to do with. But looks like... Issue number 3 is selling for between $60 and $75, and number 5 is going for between $40 and $75. So, quite a big jump on those.
Cool.
All right, X-Men number 4. This is from the 1992 run by Jim Lee. This is the first appearance of Omega Red. This one's been taken off for a little while. I think we've talked about it before. But again, this one has jumped now to $75 for raw copies and a graded 9.8 sold for over $400. I mean, that's crazy for a book that, again, was selling for just a couple of dollars not that long ago. I have a feeling we'll see Omega Red sometime in the near future. All right.
That's a good guess.
Yeah. Starfire number 6 from 2016. This is the Looney Tunes variant cover that features...
It's a pretty cool cover.
Yeah, this features Pepe Le Pew.
I know.
So I guess that alone now makes this a $70 book.
It's a riot.
That's crazy. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. Because we all know that Pepe Le Pew is the latest victim of the cancel culture movement. But, there's a whole series of Looney Tunes books to feature Pepe Le Pew. So, why this particular book is worth so much, I don't really know. Because it's not like it's his only comic book appearance. He's in the Looney Tunes. So, I don't know, but we'll see. If you have it, I think I had this at one time myself, but now it's $70. So,
there you go.
All right. Next is a book called Truth, issue number 1. This is the first appearance of Isaiah Bradley. It looks like that is going for right around $50. Tales of Suspense, issue number 75. This is the first appearance of Sharon Carter, Peggy Carter, and Batroc the Leaper. Very prominently featured in the... ongoing Falcon and Winter Soldier series. I was surprised to see Batroc the Leaper in episode 1 of Falcon and Winter Soldier, but
we'll talk about that, but that was pretty funny.
But yeah, anyways, this even a very good copy of this sold for over $100 a few days ago, so this book is on the rise and will probably continue to do so. And then last but not least, this is a book that just came out last week. This was the Captain America Anniversary Tribute issue, and there was a Brooks variant cover, which apparently is starting to catch a little fire, and it's selling for between $15 and $20. So, That was a really cool cover. Yeah, it was a
It is
homage to Captain America number one.
I accidentally had that picture up when we were talking Captain America Sam Wilson at the beginning.
Oh.
I was scrolling back and forth, but I had the 3 and 5 at the beginning, too.
So for our confused viewers.
Cool. Yeah, exactly. Like me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to write and scroll. But yeah, no, it is a cool cover, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
You ready to get into FOC?
Sure. So
all right, I'm not.
You're not. Okay.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
All right. I was going to wait. I was like, okay. No, let me kick back and, you know, put my feet up.
Yeah. Exactly. All
right, so starting off with Dark Horse, we have a book called Kojikaru the Skinner. This is issue 1 of a planned 12-issue series, and it has 2 covers. I don't know anything about it, but the cover looks cool. It looks interesting. So, and the name is interesting, so we'll see.
Right.
Okay, from DC Comics, we have variant covers for Catwoman number 30, Jenny Frisson.
Nice cover.
Nice cover. I think my favorite cover is this one here, the Justice League number 60. I'm sure I'm going to say this right.
Really?
Yeah. Kale New, I guess.
Yeah.
Is the artist on
that. Cool cover.
I like it. I think it's my favorite for the week. And then Nightwing number 79 has a Jamal Campbell variant cover.
That's a cool cover, too.
That is really cool.
The Nightwing's nice, too. Yep.
There was no new series from DC on FOC. IDW has Godzilla, Monsters, and Protectors, issue number 1, with 2 covers. Image has The Old Guard, Tales Through Time, issue number 1 of a planned 6-issue miniseries. This has multiple covers.
Looking forward to that.
I am as well. I like the Old Guard, even though I thought the last Old Guard series was billed as the last one we were going to get. But
really?
I thought so.
Why?
But I thought that's what they said, but I don't know.
No. It actually, the title of this one plays right into how story 2 ends. You don't remember the end of story 2?
Not really at this point. I've read way too many books between then and now.
Yeah, but this was a pretty big ending. I had a conversation with Martin from the Nerdy Legion, Martin Ferretti, on it. Yeah, right after it ended, he had finished it too, and it's a crazy ending to that, especially in this day and age. And if you read it,
I read it. I just don't remember.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm talking to listeners, really. If you read it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's an awesome ending, and this Tales Through Time is. I think it's going to take off from there. It's, I mean, a very awesome subject.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Cool.
It's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. So, all right. What do we got next? We're into Marvel.
Marvel. Marvel, as per usual, didn't really have any variant covers available today. But there's a couple of new series. They have the Mighty Valkyries. This is spinning out of King in Black. Issue number 1 of 5 with multiple covers. Yet another X-Men book. We get Way of X, number 1, with multiple covers. And The Women of Marvel, issue number 1, has multiple covers. Last but not least, from Black Mask Comics, we have Alice in Leatherland, issue number 1, with multiple covers.
In Leatherland.
Yeah, I can hazard a guess what that might be about, but... I'll wait until it comes out and see if I was right.
Yeah. So, okie dokie.
Yeah.
All right, is that it?
That is it.
End it right there.
Yeah. Continue to be family friendly.
Exactly. All right, John, this is where we're going to pick up the pace here.
We're going to make up a lot of ground because our comic book podcast, between the two of us, we read 1 comic today. And
if you divide that between the two of us, it's a half.
Yeah, and only I read this one. So, so the book I was able to read today was Carnage Black, White, and Blood, issue number 1. This is a 4-issue miniseries, obviously by Marvel Comics. This was written by and drawn by various writers and artists, because this is an anthology series. If you're reading Wolverine, Black, White, and Blood at all, or Batman, Black and White, it's the same thing. This had three stories in it, all done by different creative teams. And this is the same as Wolverine, Black, White, and Blood. They're just kind of bloody short stories featuring carnage. Be honest with you, I wasn't... You know, unfortunately, this being the only book that we're going to talk about today, I wasn't really that impressed with it.
We got other stuff to get to.
Oh, we do. Now, I'll preface this by saying I am not the biggest Carnage fan at all, and I don't necessarily, like, I wasn't really looking forward to reading this. There was just very little in the way of number ones or new books to read today.
Right.
I didn't have any independent books that were number ones. This was it. The other one I had put aside was Alien number one. And I didn't even get to it. So, the only thing I will say about this book is the third story seemed like it was fun, but I didn't participate. And what I mean by that, well, here's what I mean by that, because this was actually really, really cool. This was set up as basically a choose your own adventure type of thing, with like a role playing aspect. You had to, it was, I don't know, let's say 8 pages, and it was broken down into a total of about 40 numbered panels. And you started at panel 1, obviously, and by the time you got to like the end of the first page, maybe it was like 5 panels in, it's set up where you were playing the role of Carnage in, I guess, basically like a video game or like a choose your own adventure type of thing. And you were then instructed to roll a 6-sided dice, come up with a number, and then follow through the story, adding and subtracting to your number based on the decisions that you made. And when you got to the end of it, you had one of two outcomes. I read the first half of it just straight through until I realized that it really wasn't going to make sense unless I played along, and I didn't have the time or the inclination to play along with it. But I will say that it was the most unique comic experience I've ever seen or had, and I may go back and play with it you know, when I get the chance, because it actually seemed kind of cool. But, you know, be prepared to have a 6-sided dice and a pencil and a piece of paper and be able to make decisions as you go through.
I always do when I sit down to read my comics.
So that was pretty interesting. I will say that you can't just read it straight through, though, because it doesn't make sense. You're kind of jumping all over the place. So you kind of have to choose a path and go through it.
I mean, you could just pick a number, like, off the top of your head. You go 3.
You could, but 2. Again, you have to your total score at the end is also a determining factor of what happens. So if you're not
right,
you can't just say, okay, well, I'll pick the path and go to panel 43 and not do
a dice, you just pick a number 1 to 6 every time.
Yeah,
I guess you could. It's just a random number.
Well, you really only need it to start too. You just get your starting number.
Really?
Yeah, you get your starting number and then you add and subtract to it based on the choices you make as you go through the book. You're not rolling the dice more than once. So,
that's easy.
Yeah. And you're really going to start with a 5 or a 6, because it says right in it, if you roll a 1 or a 2, you know, it says if you roll a 1, 2, or 3, add 3 to it. So your starting number is going to be between 4 and 6. Like, so you could just start in 5 and randomly go from there. But anyways, seems fun. You know, that was the most... seemed like it was the most compelling part of the whole issue to me, because the first two stories, they were fine. But again, I'm not a Carnage guy. You know, if you're a big Carnage fan, you might enjoy these more than I did.
I like the stories. But I'm not a huge Carnage fan. Yeah. I like the stories. And I do have this one. I was going to read it. I actually perused through Alien.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll partake in this conversation. Then, like, you haven't read it. And I was like, oh, yeah. All right. I like the what I got out of it.
I did thumb through it.
I like the art. I thumbed through the art.
Yeah, I thumbed through the art a little bit. And, you know, I did look at it. But, I just couldn't get to it. I really wanted to. I should have started with that. Because I left it for second because it was the one I wanted to read more. So I was like, well, I'll just blast through Carnage, and then I can sit down and read Alien, and I ended up not being able to get to it. So
I ended up, like, just putting the show together. I was like, all right, I came down here at 7, and I'm like, 3 hours, and I don't know why. It just took me a while to put all the pictures together in this. So this YouTube thing, John, it's killing me.
Yeah, no.
I'm having fun, though.
You brought this on yourself, buddy.
I know. I'm not complaining, but I was expecting to, like, last week it took me, like, an hour to put this all together. Yeah. And this week I got some different ideas. I'm like, let's try this.
Because I'll be honest with you. I was feeling the pressure at around 4:30 or so because I'm like, I wasn't ready to send the notes. And I was like, well, I need to get DJ the notes so he can get the pictures ready. So
exactly.
You're putting undue pressure on me, too, man.
Well, we got tens of listeners, John.
I know. All double digits.
We're in double digits now. All right. You ready to get to a little bit of real world?
Sure.
Just a little bit.
All right. What did you watch this week?
Watched a few things, actually. First thing I did was finished Van Helsing. So we finished all 4 seasons of that show. And are now ready for season 5, which drops next month. Really enjoyed it, actually. I liked it quite a bit. So I would recommend it if you are so inclined to watch 4 seasons of TV. of course, watched the Snyder Cut. We will get to that. We won't talk about it at all.
Phew, I'm glad you watched it.
Yeah. I had to wait till Saturday. I didn't get to see it until Saturday.
You did. Good for you. So. Nobody spoiled it? Did anything get spoiled?
No, actually nothing. Good. I stayed away.
We'll talk about that.
Well, I stayed away from social media. Like, I came across a few headlines, and I quickly closed the browser or scrolled away.
That's pretty good.
I had a couple people come in the store on Friday, and I quickly said, I haven't seen it, so...
Kicked them out.
Stop talking or get out.
Right.
You know, I don't want to talk about it. Not that there, you know, again, we'll get to it, but not that there was a lot that could be spoiled necessarily, because most of the story we kind of knew already.
No, but we'll get to it. There was one that obviously we know, but we'll get to it.
But I watched that, of course, watched Falcon and Winter Soldier. Really liked that. First 10 minutes of that were very cinematic. Like, it really felt
we'll do our Falcon Winter Soldier right after.
Oh.
We'll do a section.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I didn't know we were
warn you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to... Just a small one, but we'll do that each week anyways, because, I mean, this week we're going to do tons of Snyder Cut, so... But, yeah.
All right, so then we started a new series. We started watching Animal Kingdom, which is a show that I guess airs on TNT, but the first 4 seasons are on Netflix. This is stars. Oh shoot, I can't think of her name now.
Woman.
God. Yeah, I'm sorry. I have to go to the Google because I cannot think of her name. But it also stars. You haven't watched Peaky Blinders, right?
A little bit. Okay. We didn't really like it.
Really? I think we need to stop recording now. I'm done with you.
It's not me.
Peaky Blinders. Peaky Blinders is fantastic.
I know. Jen doesn't like it. She doesn't like
Ellen Barkin.
She doesn't...
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I love Ellen Barkin.
Yeah, so Ellen Barkin is the the matriarch of the show. But Finn Cole, who plays Michael on Peaky Blinders, is kind of like the main male lead. And then there's a bunch of other people that I've seen in other things, but not really familiar with. Scott Speedman is the other one, though. He's from the Underworld movies, and he plays in this as well. But yeah, this is, they're bank robbers, criminals, drug dealers. You know, it's one of those type of shows. and Finn Cole is the main character. His mother dies early in the first episode, and he's kind of doesn't know his dad, so he's basically, you know, on his own, and he calls Ellen Barkin, which is the grandmother, and they haven't seen each other in years, and she takes him in, and then he starts to get wrapped up in all of the shenanigans that are going on over there. So we've only watched like three episodes, so we're not super, super deep into it, but it seems really, I've heard a lot of great things about it, so I was really looking forward to watching it, and looks like it's going to be really good. So definitely, I think you guys would like that one too. So you should, you should check it out.
Check that out.
I think that's about it though. Didn't really watch anything else. So yeah, that's it.
Cool. All right. Yeah, we didn't really watch much this week. It's still going on the Mad About You season 8.
Yeah.
Were you able to catch any of those?
No,
yet?
Not yet.
They were like, I don't know if it's episode 7 or 8. We just watched it tonight before we recorded. And there's an unbelievable scene. And Paul Reiser does an unreal acting job.
Yeah.
Where he, yeah, it. I both Jen and I were like, that was awesome. And so they're at the point in their marriage where, and this really isn't comic book stuff, but we'd talk about it in the store. Yeah. So, but they're at the point in their marriage where they're fighting and they're like drifting apart.
Right.
And she's trying to say to him, like, if you know the characters from the show, she's a very strong woman who's very opinionated and stuff. And he's, like I said a couple weeks ago when we talked about it, he's always like, oh, okay, whatever. Yeah. Right. That's the way he's always been. Well, in this episode that I'm talking about, it, like I said, episode 8 or something, she goes, I could take it. What? Tell me something that bothers you about me. And
it goes
25
off.
Years of marriage. And it was so realistic and so, like, brutal.
Yeah.
And he did, and you could see the emotion in his face, in his eyes, and the emotion in her eyes. She was being devastated because she didn't know she was doing this to him. And it is just an unreal scene. And, I mean, he's a comedian,
yeah,
you know, and it's like, and that's no slight against him as an actor or anything like that, but it's just such a great, great scene and so realistic. And you're like, Jen and I were like, wow,
yeah,
that was so real, especially for a sitcom like this. And you're just like, it was great, really, and so realistic. And you're like, oh, they're definitely on the downswing here.
Yeah.
It's like, but it was good. I mean, we watched the next episode too, because you're like, you got to see where that goes. And right. it kind of, they rebound a little bit. So it's pretty good. But that scene is just, we were both like jaw dropped.
Wow.
And my brother texted me last night. He said, have we seen Nate Bargatze, comedian? Comedy special on Netflix. It's called The Greatest Average American. Just came out. He's performing in front of a masked audience outdoors, you know, so it's a very recent, it's 2021 release for a comedian. It's pretty good. Pretty good. I hadn't heard of his name before. My brother hadn't heard of him. But as soon as we put it on, we were like, this guy's a riot. And we know him because my son Joe went to school 2 hours away and he played hockey all over the area. So we drive 3 hours out for a hockey game, wherever his game was, and drive back. So 6 hours in the car, we'd put on like comedy on Pandora.
Right.
And he was one of the people that would just, you know, it was just quick bit over and over and over. And we've heard him over the years, but we never saw him. We didn't know who he was. But it's really good. Jeff, check that one out if you like comedians.
Yeah, I do.
Greatest Average American. It's pretty cool.
Cool. So.
Other than that, I saw the Snyder Cut. And then a Falcon Winter Soldier. Yeah.
So you saw it three times, or you just reiterated that it was long?
I saw it 2 full times, and then I've been back through it to watch some fun stuff.
Yeah,
and I just had a blast with it. But all right, you ready to get to some Falcon Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
All right. What did you think? I mean, I don't know. There's not really much you can spoil.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty good. Like, it wasn't WandaVision, to be honest. Like, and I knew it wasn't going to be. It was exactly what I thought it was going to be, though. Like, it was fun. You know, they don't cross paths in the first episode, so it was kind of like two divergent stories. But you know, the Falcon part of it, like I mentioned earlier, it opened with a pretty exciting, you know,
cinematic experience.
Sequence, right? Like, it really felt like all the money was spent here. Like, this was definitely a movie experience.
Hopefully not
you
from
know?
The season.
Yeah, well, maybe so. And
blew the budget in the first 5 minutes.
I thought that was great, but I really got much more invested in Bucky's story. Bucky's having, you know, not that Sam isn't having a hard time. He's having a bit of a hard time financially with his family. You know, they're trying to save their fishing boat and all this, which...
It was a Bubba Gump fishing
story. Yeah, which was fine. But the Bucky story, you know, he's in therapy, which is, I guess, a condition of his pardon for his crimes as the Winter Soldier. But, you know, he's trying to make amends for the people that he's hurt. And, you know, he befriended an older Asian man who's, I guess, his son. We're led to believe he killed. We didn't see it. But,
right.
You know, we think that he killed his son, and he's trying to make amends with this guy, and he can't bring himself to do it. But his story, I felt, was more compelling in the first episode. But a lot of that, like, again, we didn't get the buddy cop thing going because they haven't come together yet. But
I'm hoping for more humor when they do that.
Well,
this
I think
was
they will.
It was
a little heavy, like I said, because the whole thing with Bucky was pretty, it was kind of a downer. And then even with Sam, you know, their family's got money troubles. They're trying to save their business or their boat, and you know, they can't get a loan at the bank, kind of thing. And
right,
you know, we find out that Tony Stark is a giant butthole because, you know, he could have been paying these guys, you know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's not paying anybody, really.
I mean, Bruce Wayne bought a bank so he could save Martha's house. Like, the least Tony could do is buy a Bubba Gump fishing boat for Sam, you know. So, but you know, there was
anymore.
That whole thing, you know. You don't show any income for the last 5 years. Well, it's because I was in the ether. Like, I feel like he can't be the only one that walks into that bank with no 5-year history. Because,
well, that's what they said, though. You know? That's what they said.
Yeah,
they was like every they had. Imagine half, you know, half the planet just shows up. Imagine what that does to the economy.
Yeah,
after 5 years of being gone, Just those ideas alone, it's like, that's why it's such a heavy show. Yeah. It's like, or a heavy episode anyways. Like, that idea, like, those are things that when you're thinking about on comic book terms, and you're like, oh, everybody disappeared. Hey, everybody came back. Right. 5 years later, oh, that's kind of cool. And you're thinking, like, that's weird. But then, like, think of it in reality. Right. Like, if everybody was gone, like, half the planet.
Yeah, that's a lot of jobs that were lost, a lot of businesses that went under, you know. It is probably devastating on the economy,
but,
you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, there's so... Yeah, it's everybody coming back, and now it's like you've got to feed all those people. Plus, the planet is probably, no, not doubled, but, I mean, it's populated more since then. So now all of a sudden you got this all... And I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. Crazy. But I anticipate more stuff like that coming up, like where you're like, I didn't even think of that.
Oh, I'm sure there will be. Yeah, this takes place... I guess
just months
after, like, the return. So kind of like right after, like WandaVision was like a week after.
A month after. Yeah.
And this is a couple of months after that. So it pretty much takes place the same time frame as WandaVision did. You know, and then you get the whole thing with the shield and, you know, Sam gives the shield back to the Smithsonian or wherever, you know, that was. And, then we see the whole thing at the end with U.S. Agent, and
it's awful.
Well, he's terrible. Like, he looked terrible, by the way.
but that's why they did it, though. Yeah. That's why I felt bad for the guy they cast, because that's what they wanted you to feel at the end. They wanted you to be like, ugh, he looks awful. Yeah.
But like, it kind of, you know, the thing it brought up for me is like the, like, what's the chain of ownership on that shield, right? Like, that shield was given to Steve, but it was given to him by the government. So, like, is it the government's property? Like, did Steve ever, yeah, like, buy that from the government? Probably not. So, because if it was Steve's...
Well, I don't even know if it was the government's. Wasn't it Stark's?
Well, the thing is, if it was Steve's shield, and then it came to Bucky... I mean, not to Bucky, to Sam. Sam donates it to the Smithsonian, and then they give it away. Well, can't Sam just say, "Hey, that's mine"? Like, right? You know, I donated it to the museum. But if you're going to give it away, then you know I'm taking that back. Now we know he gets it back because it's been spoiled with every trailer and like every TV spot shows him with that shield. In scenes that didn't appear in episode one, so we know he gets the shield back. You know how he gets it back or what the circumstances are, we don't know, but yeah, that was a weird situation because you kind of like, is it a race thing? Like, why if they wanted another Captain America, why couldn't it have just been Sam? You know, like
You know,
what's going on there? Well, they kind of went there at the bank. You know, they did bring race into this episode because,
That's true.
Sam's sister said, well, you're not giving us this loan because of, you know, because of the color of our skin. And so they kind of went there. And I'm like, well, if they wanted a new Cap, why not Sam? You know, why does it have to be this guy? So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I'll be curious to see how they lay that out and what the, you know, circumstances were for this guy getting the shield, you know.
Yeah.
Because, again, is he a super soldier? Did they experiment on him? Like, who knows, you know. We'll see.
I don't know. One episode. We only have five left.
I know. That's the thing.
It's a short season. It's, yeah. So, hopefully they get together soon.
Yeah, right? Because
there's only five left.
Yeah, there's only five left. And if they don't get together next week, they're, like, halfway done already. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know. Oh, all right. Is that it? We'll have much more on that next week.
Yeah.
We'll probably dive deeper. Hopefully there's more. I can't wait for that episode. We can't dive
too much deeper because that's all there was. So.
Right. Yeah. So. All right. All right. That will do it for this part of the show. Now we're going to get into the Snyder Cut after we say goodbye. If you're that person that hasn't seen the Snyder Cut yet and you,
that person,
that person, one guy. That one comic book fan that hasn't seen the Snyder Cut yet, you can tune out now, but, you can find us on Twitter at brightside_chat, or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com, or you can find John on Twitter at Arkham Comics with an X. And you can check us out on the Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com with all the other great podcasts. Actually, the Nerdy Legion podcast with Martin and Nick. They have the Snyder Cut drop today. I'm looking forward to hearing that myself tomorrow. They had to say. Yeah. And you can check us out on YouTube and go there and be one of the tens and hit subscribe. That would be
great.
Get
in on the ground floor. Get in early.
Exactly.
You can say you were there when. I knew these guys when they only had 10 viewers.
Right.
You know, look at them now. They've got 14.
Yeah, years later, yeah. You know, 14.
Back in my day, they only had 10 viewers.
10. I was the lucky 11. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. That'll do it. Everybody, have a great week. Stick around because we're going to be talking Snyder Cut. Take it easy.
Autobots, roll out.
Hey, Fred. All right, John. Is the door locked?
The door is locked for the one guy that hasn't watched the Snyder Cut yet.
The one? Yeah, stay out.
Everybody else is in the store, so.
Everybody else is in the store. We got a nice, fancy graphic for this. Loving the Snyder Cut, John. Loving the Snyder Cut.
Oh, geez.
How are you feeling about it?
It was okay.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Like, I thought now, it was. Did you like I thought it was good, not great. I thought it was miles ahead of the Justice League. It was the best version we're going to get of this. I just feel like, and I know this is where you're going to argue with me, but I feel like they left way too many unresolved things for a project that's not going any further. You know, there's not going to be a sequel to it. I think they just left too many things undone for my tastes.
See, I don't know if there's not going to be a sequel.
Well, everybody says there isn't, so that's why I was saying that's where you're going to...
that's not true.
Warner Brothers has said there will not be a sequel to the Snyder Cut.
Right, but all the things that they did that they left unsolved, they could do they could do spin-offs of. Like, I thought that this was a great segue into Flashpoint.
Right. They could explore.
So that's.
They could explore some aspects of this in The Flash, for sure. But
I think they're going
to.
I think that was the point.
But you can't tell a sequel to this movie without Henry Cavill or Ben Affleck. Like, you have to have them to finish this story. Like, this story was being set up, you know, through the nightmare scenes to have a lot more involvement with Superman and Batman.
Stuff like
And like that stuff was just left, too much was left unsaid, you know, or unfinished. Like, you know, we end with Darkseid, you know, supposedly, you know, on his way, like I'm coming, and we're not going to see it. And that's frustrating.
See, I don't know if we'll never see it. I think it might not be, because from everything I've heard, it was Snyder's not coming back to do anything. But that doesn't mean that they can't do other stuff, recast other people. They could do other things in the future and develop this story that they've started if the popularity is there.
Well, I think the popularity is there already. I mean, it was a pretty big success. Although, it wasn't a success. Wonder Woman beat it, so it hasn't streamed. Now, I don't know what the metrics are on that because Wonder Woman was on HBO Max for 30 days. This has only been out for a week, but the reports I saw today were that, you know, it didn't stream more than Wonder Woman numbers. But that being said,
it's also 4 hours.
It was still, I'm sure, very popular. Although it's very polarizing. Like, there's a lot of people that love it and a lot of people that hate it. So, I don't know if it'll be successful enough that they'll want to go anywhere else with it. You know, from everything I read from, the Warner Brothers side of it. And, you know, again, you take all these things with a grain of salt because we were told for years we would never get the Snyder Cut. So,
right. Like,
you can never say never. But they apparently are not interested at all in pursuing this story any further, is what they say. So, you know, we'll see. Like, again, we know we get Ezra Miller's Flash. We know we're going to have a Jason Momoa Aquaman. We're going to get another Wonder Woman 3. So, some of these actors and actresses stick around, but I don't know that they're going to play in this sandbox anymore. Like, the Aquaman sequel probably doesn't have anything to do with Darkseid. Neither does Wonder Woman 3. Or even Flashpoint, for that matter. Like, I just don't see that any of these things go back to this.
But that's the thing, is Flashpoint is going to reset all of this. Because I think this, what he just did in this one, is potentially the Flashpoint. He went back in time in this.
You're right, he did. He already, and it's like, he already started
the
setup.
They already set the stage
for it. They did set the stage for it. But.
And what Flashpoint is going to do is it can change everything. So it could make Batman a different person. It can make all of these different things, and they could reset the universe just with Flashpoint. Yeah. You know, which will alter all of that stuff that you're talking about that's supposed to be coming in the future, but maybe it now, because of Barry, it changes the future. Yeah. So I think, like you said, it's like they set up all of this stuff for us to be intrigued, but I think this was a huge event for Flashpoint. is really the biggest thing. It's like, I mean, a lot of people were talking about Cyborg and how much more he was fleshed out in this, and he was.
He was.
And
this was really a Cyborg movie, honestly.
I would say this is, it was also a Flash movie, because Flash was fleshed out way more as well.
He was.
And then he ends up, I thought the biggest difference to me is in the Justice League, we ended up with like a Flash that was just a klutz. He was just background humor.
Right.
And he, even to the point that in that one, the Flash even says, I've never really done anything. I just run fast and save people.
Right.
Right. But in this one, he was fighting. He actually pushed and fought against Superman.
Right.
Right. And then we didn't get any of that. We had a completely different view of the Flash by the end of this movie, to the point that he ends up being the most powerful person in the movie because he can reset time. And in Flashpoint, we find out why that's so bad. And that's to me, it's, and now talking about Cyborg, way more development to this character.
Yeah.
And it, but you could, they developed all the characters, but Cyborg, we've got all that backstory. We have his mother. There's so much more to this, and you just felt for him through the entire thing. And then you had the relationship with his father playing out by the end. I mean, it was just, I mean, such a more in-depth movie to itself. To your point, yeah, you're right. There's going to be stuff that's going to be undeveloped in the future, but I think that's what Flashpoint's for.
Yeah. Well, I think to some degree, like, I just don't feel like Flashpoint's going to answer all of these things, but, you know, time will tell on that. But you know, overall, I enjoyed the movie. I don't want it to come off like I don't. But I was not blown away by it. Like, I felt like there was a lot of things that were, like I said, unanswered. There were scenes that I absolutely loved in this. I mean, it was 4 hours long, so there has to be something in it that I liked.
I hope there was something.
But I also feel like it was very bloated. Like, it was 4 hours.
It was 4 hours!
But it didn't have to be 4 hours. That's what I'm saying.
But it could be.
It was very bloated.
That's why, yeah.
Like, I mentioned it earlier in joke, but like every single character got their like Everybody Hurts song montage, like that whole thing with the, I don't even know what was going on the beach with Arthur and the singing and all, like I just kept thinking to myself, like, this doesn't have to be here at all. Like, there's no reason for this to exist in this movie.
You know what? I'll tell you one scene when,
like, hopefully
when,
that wasn't part of the $70 million that they reshot.
Arthur, you know? Arthur gets out of his truck, out of the ocean. He's saying goodbye to Mira and,
Vulko?
What's his name? Yes. Saying goodbye to them, shaking their hand. And all the while, it's going on in my head that in Aquaman, he doesn't know who Mira is.
Well, that's the whole thing, too. Like,
that was funny.
There were some things that they did with them.
That was wonky.
Like, he didn't really know who. Like, in this movie, he was aware of Orm. And, like,
right.
But in Aquaman movie, he didn't know who Orm was. So there was a little bit of plot holes that were set up by this.
Yeah, it was a little.
But again, that's
they
just
were
because.
Already that way, yeah.
They changed. That's why this isn't canon. You know, that's why Warner Brothers says this movie isn't canon, because those things were changed by the Justice, you know, the Joss Whedon cut, which played into those, you know, because you can't really, you can't hold Zack responsible for the movies that came after.
Correct.
You know, so that part of it, even though it did set up some things that didn't necessarily make sense.
But with the, you know, I'll tell you one that is, it's contained in the movie. He gets out of the ocean and gets in the back of a pickup truck to go see his father, but his father runs a lighthouse that's on the ocean, and he's Aquaman.
Yeah, well, what? We also had,
why is he hitching a ride in a pickup truck when he could just swim to the house?
We had, like, at least three scenes where he walked to the end of a dock, stripped off his shirt, and jumped into the ocean, and then every time we saw him back on land, he was fully dressed again. It's like, where are those clothes coming from? Because you're leaving shirts all over the seashore, and
the boots too. He leaves those behind.
Yeah, and then he's like the king of the ocean, and he's like smashing bottles and throwing them into the, you know, it's like,
I knew you were going to say that. I said
into the water, king of the ocean.
You know why?
You know.
Where do you think glass comes from, John? You can break glass and throw it in the ocean. It's not littering.
Okay.
It's not. That's where glass comes from.
I know it's sand, but...
You're actually putting it back.
No.
And you know what's so funny? Joe and I were watching the movie, and I said that. Yeah. I go, John's going to say that they're littering.
Yeah.
I'm like, and that's glass. And Joe, before I could finish, Joe was like, that's where it comes from. I was like, I know. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Did you think there was too much slow motion?
I didn't think there was any more of it than there is in any other Zack Snyder. Like, that's just Zack's way of telling story. So,
but I also think it's the way you tell speed.
Well, that's the way we have defaulted to showing speed, right? Like,
right. Well, because if you show it at actual speed, they're just not there.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's funny that the default method for showing extreme speed is like to slow everything down, but
right,
but yeah, I mean, I don't think there was I mean, there was quite a bit of slow motion, don't get me wrong, but like I've seen 300, I've seen Sucker Punch, I've seen, you know, every other
right.
Zack Snyder movie that he's ever made, and that's just part of his storytelling style. So I mean, it just wasn't out of place, I don't think.
But
you know?
it also, going outside of Snyder, watch any of the Flash shows.
Well, they're right. All, well, even look at Evan Peters. Look at the X-Men things. You know, that's how they do. That's how they do speed. Is, but I don't think every.
Right.
But every bit of slow motion in this movie, I don't think was revolved around the Flash.
No, you know? But it was like even the Wonder Woman scene, which I thought that scene when they introduced Wonder Woman and they had that scene where she saved the group from the bomb. That to me. It wasn't the best scene in the movie, but it was the first scene where I went, wow, they added a lot more. That was a more dynamic scene, and there was a lot more slow motion there. I love the close-up on the gun when he went to automatic. I love that, and then he just unloads, and then she goes, boom, 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 and she moved fast, but it was still in slow motion.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Scene was fantastic, but I thought, again, and this is just... This is the characters in Zack Snyder's world, but like Wonder Woman had way too high a body count for Wonder Woman. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I just don't, I take a little bit of
the one
exception with these characters. Like there
when
was,
she hit him with the bracelets and blew his head off out the wall. I was like, ooh,
that's
Wonder Woman.
That's not
that's
Wonder
a Zack
Woman,
Snyder.
Right? And then
yeah,
way too much,
I didn't think so
way
either.
Too much guns for Batman. You know, because again, Batman is very anti-gun. You know,
wasn't that in the dream sequence though?
Well, no, but also in his that whatever the vehicle he had, the horseshoe crab. You know, the bat horseshoe crab.
Oh yeah.
Crawled up the side of the wall. But yeah, there was way too much.
Yeah.
Way too many guns for Batman. Way too much killing for Wonder Woman. But again. I accept that that's Zack's version of these characters, and it's not the comic book versions.
Right.
Because, you know, again, we could have the Superman killing Zod debate. But, yeah, I loved that scene, though. Don't get me wrong. Like, I thought that was phenomenal. I thought – and again, it makes you question because, like, the scene with the little – you know, the end of that scene with the little girl, right, where she – you know, she talks to that little girl. That existed in the cut that Joss Whedon was working with. And he consciously chose not to include that in his movie. And it's like, why would you cut that out? Like, that was the first real moment of heart and, like, because I would have to imagine Warner Brothers told Joss, look, we got this movie, we have to cut it down from 4 hours to 2 hours, and we have to put a little bit more heart into it because it's kind of bleak. And then the first scene where you could put the heart into it, he cuts it out, you know? And it's
right.
Like, that was such a great moment with that little girl, you know, you can be anything you want to be type of thing. And he chose not to use that. And it's like, I don't understand that at all.
Right.
And that was not reshoots because that those girls would have aged. Like, they didn't go back and reshoot right. that scene, you know. Those kids were filmed, you know, 5 years ago. So
right, yeah, that's crazy.
So,
but yeah, it's, I know there's a lot of stuff in here that, like, as you're watching it, you're like, he had access
right,
to
like,
that.
Why cut that out? I don't understand. Why?
But the thing, I have to believe that it and I said this on my other podcast, I have to believe it wasn't all Joss Whedon's fault. I would give very little fault to him. I think he was brought in to just be the yes man to the studio. Reason Snyder stepped down was because he just didn't have it in him to fight the studio anymore. Yeah. And from all the reports I'm hearing or where we've read, it's he, like, after, you know, his daughter passed, he even tried working for a month.
Yeah.
But then he was like, that's it. I'm done. I can't handle this anymore. He couldn't fight the studio. They kept telling him, you had to do this. And he wanted to do that.
Right.
And he was like, that's it. I'm done. So they bring in Whedon and he does what the studio wants. And that's what we got. Yeah. So how do you blame him entirely? You know, it's like, but now we get granted, had the process not taken place, I think we would have got about a 2.5 hour version of this and then got the 4 hour version later on Blu-ray or something. Right. You know what I mean? We would have got this eventually, but it would have been cut in. It would have been less bloated,
right,
to your point. You know, we would have got a 2.5, because you could probably cut this down to 2 hours and 45 minutes.
I'd say 2:45 to 3 hours and get the story. But there was definitely a lot of cushion in this movie that, you
but
know.
There had to, I mean, he was allowed to have, he had, there was no time limit.
Well, no,
and
right.
It's funny,
but
I saw, but I most saw of that an article didn't further, about the black and
most
white
of that
coming
stuff
out.
Didn't further the story. You know, it was just there to be there. And
yeah, but it doesn't hurt. It's just more information. And I mean, where are you going? You know, it's a 4 hour movie. So, but I saw a report about the black and white version coming out, you know, Justice is Gray. And they're like, in the report, they're like, they were wondering, we're not sure yet if there's any additional scenes. Additional? Yeah.
Well, apparently there's like, really like a 6 hour cut that...
What?
Yeah, that's like, what I heard, but it's like,
oh man.
But again, he probably didn't have the money to finish 6 hours worth, you know what I mean? Because they gave him 70
what
million.
Could be left?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the whole second half of the movie, really.
Right. The stuff you want answers to. Well, a lot of that was reshot. I did hear that. Like, did you see some of the outtakes? I saw on YouTube they had a behind the scenes one. And so the dream sequence at the end where Ben Affleck is talking to Jared.
Well, I know
Leto
that was all reshot. Yeah, that was all done.
Yeah, well, they actually showed the behind the scenes and Snyder's on set and he's got a mask on. So this is all shot during COVID.
Right.
And, you know, Leto did his thing. Speaking of which, did you see the report on the reach around line?
Well, I know that it was ad-libbed and Zach just said, yeah, that's something the Joker would say, so he left it in. But,
well, yeah, but Leto said, that'll never make the movie.
Yeah.
And Snyder said, oh, yeah? Watch me.
Yeah, I did see that.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was funny. It's like, I thought, one, it was something the Joker would say, and two, I thought it was textbook Leto, too.
Right.
From all the reports we're hearing about how he was as a Joker, it's like, he's dying to get back into that character.
But then the line that he did say in the trailer was cut out of the movie. Because in the trailer, he had that scene, you know, that line about we live in a society or something like that. And they cut that out.
That was gone. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe that's in Justice
League. That's
in
the 6 hour cut, yeah.
So, interesting. Yeah. That's... All right, another one of your favorite scenes.
Well, I mean, I loved, you know, this wasn't radically different than the first time around, but, you know, the Superman versus the Justice League scene basically is like one of the best scenes in the movie. It was expanded a little bit here, but it wasn't radically different than what Joss gave us, you know. I still, like, one of my favorite moments in the movie was like Superman clocking the Flash as he, you know, as he's going by. It is like, you think you're fast, but I'm pretty fast too, you know?
Yeah.
Which was really cool. And then the Flash being shocked. Yeah.
Ooh.
The scene where Flash actually was fighting with Superman was new.
That was cool.
Now, that was actually in the Whedon cut that was not in this cut that I actually liked better in the Whedon version was that in the Whedon version, it was Batman's idea to have Lois there. Because, you know, Batman would anticipate that she would be able to calm the Savage Beast. You know what I mean? And in this movie, it was like, oh, I'm just getting coffee. Like, it was, she was there by accident.
Yeah, but she'd been there every day. Well, they set that up at the beginning.
They did,
but
it still was just happenstance that she
was
there.
By chance.
Yep. Where in the Whedon version, it was calculated. And I actually liked that part of it better. The end result is the same, because it's still her calming Superman, but...
But they added in, and that's part of that dream sequence and everything, they added that whole thing in that Lois is the key.
Right.
But in the Whedon version, we thought that was it. She was the key right there.
Right, but it's not.
But there's so much more. Yeah, it's like there is so much more.
Right, because it's them failing to save Lois that sets Superman, basically Dark Superman, you know.
He becomes whatever happens there. It's and that was set up in BVS.
Right.
You know, we had that same dream sequence. So it I thought that the continuity between BVS and this was a lot better, much, much better. While I'm thinking of it right now, before we forget, Martian
I was just
going
to say that I loved Martian Manhunter. I loved his reveal.
I, like, stood up in my room. I was like, oh, my God.
When she walks out of that room and her eyes turn red, I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And then, and then all of a sudden she transforms, and I'm like, shit, that was, oh, sorry. I'm like, that was awesome.
That's okay.
You know, we're in Kryptonite Key Club, so leave it. It's an R-rated movie we're talking about. But I was like, that's awesome, you know, and then, you know, you kind of get that scene, you know, with him at the end, which, you know, is it just me or does 5 years later, Ben Affleck looked 10 times better now than he did when he was...
He looked like George Clooney.
He looked so good there compared to how he looked in this whole movie.
He was thin.
Well, he was thin.
He was thin.
He's not an alcoholic anymore. You know, he's like, you know, he's...
But I think he had bulked up for Bruce Wayne, and then they brought him back for that scene, and I think he just, he wasn't
Well, he's
he
thinner, but he's
up.
Sober. Like, he's clean, and he's living a better lifestyle. He had packed
but,
on
yeah,
a few
looked,
pounds.
He looked like George
Yeah, there
Clooney.
Was a few, he looked a little chunky in a few moments in, you know, in the Batman suit, but he looked pretty dang good. I was like, man, this is 5 years later and he looks 10 years younger, but that whole scene was pretty cool. Now you heard that was supposed to be Jon Stewart, like that wasn't supposed to be Martian Manhunter at all. That scene was supposed to take, it was supposed to be the Jon Stewart Green Lantern, and Warner Brothers.
I didn't hear.
Yeah, Warner Brothers nixed that because they've got other plans for Green Lantern, and they didn't want that.
But see, I like the. Oh, so did they want that same character? Because that character has been in since Man of Steel.
Not the same actor. It wasn't supposed to be Harry Lennox at all. It was supposed to be.
Oh, okay.
Jon Stewart being introduced, I guess, in the movie.
But see, I kind of like the idea that's maybe they had plans on him be that. What's his name? John Lennox?
Harry Lennox is the actor, yeah.
Harry Lennox. So maybe they had plans on him being Martian Manhunter anyways, but he's been around the entire time.
Yeah, yes.
He's been Martian Manhunter the entire time, and I thought that was awesome.
No, that was, it was really
I thought
cool.
That was
and
like,
I loved him being involved, but the original plan for that scene at the end was supposed to be Green Lantern. It wasn't supposed to be Martian Manhunter, but Warner Brothers didn't want that to happen because the original scene between Martha and Lois was shot as Martha and Lois. They added that other part.
Oh
later,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Of course.
And if it had been Green Lantern at the end, then that scene in the hallway just wouldn't have taken place. And it would have just been...
Right, it just would have been Green Lantern.
Yeah, and that conversation would have just been between Lois and Martha, you know. And it still would have made perfect sense.
They actually could have done both.
They could have.
They could have introduced Martian Manhunter there.
Yeah.
And then introduce Green Lantern at the end and just leave them as, like, the justice... Like, it's all coming together.
They could have.
You know.
Because here's the other thing, too, that... Somebody else pointed out, I didn't catch any of this at all, but if you remember back to when this movie first came out, back in 2017 or whatever, all the marketing surrounded this movie said Unite the Seven. Remember that? It was on the posters, it was on all the advertisement for this movie was Unite
and
the Seven.
Who was the seventh?
Who's the seventh, right? Because there's only six people in this entire movie, even in the Whedon cut. So... Was it Green Lantern? Was it Martian Manhunter? Like, who's the seven? Because we never got that. You know, we never got a seven. So,
well, we do now.
Well, yeah.
Well, we do now with the Martian.
Well, but even that, they're not. What was United? Like, he didn't join them in any battle.
Yeah, at the
like
end,
there was
right,
no seven people together doing anything. So,
right.
So yeah,
yeah,
that
you
was,
wanted them at the end coming together, and you couldn't have Martian Manhunter join the fight. That already been filmed.
But again, but even still, you're like, what was the intent? Like when that marketing went out, the intent of that movie had to have been to unite a seventh person. And even with the Snyder cut,
yeah,
what did he have in mind? Because even with his 4 hours, he didn't realize that goal. You know, it was like no seven.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that was supposed to be. And I never would have even remembered that, but I heard somebody else point it out, and that was
now like, that you now that you say it, I do remember. Like it does ring a bell.
So I thought that was interesting. The other thing that was I thought was odd was that when Steppenwolf was talking to Darkseid, basically saying I found the end of life equation or whatever.
Yeah,
this is the planet. You can come here, and he says. Something like the way is clear, there's no lanterns, there's no Kryptonian, you know, whatever.
Right.
Kryptonian isn't a thing. You know what I mean? Like, back when he got repelled, you know, from the planet in the beginning, there was the Green Lantern there, you know, the Atlanteans, the humans, the Amazons, they all came together and repelled Darkseid. There was no Kryptonian involved. Like...
Right. I thought the same thing.
Like, a Kryptonian isn't a thing. Like, there is a Kryptonian, there's Kal-El. But, like, even if they met Kryptonians in other parts of space, they weren't superheroes or anything. They were just...
Yeah, it depended on the sun.
They were just dudes, you know what I mean? Like, Kal-El was just the unique case, and they wouldn't have known about him. Like, they had no idea that he existed. So, like, what are you talking about there? Like, I was like...
Right.
They don't even know who Superman is. And Kryptonians aren't a thing. They're not out saving the galaxy all over the place. Like, it was just a weird line to say, you know? So
yeah, because he was only here for all intents and purposes, like, 30 years.
Yeah. You know?
So, like, they've been gone for thousands,
exactly.
Like 5,000 years.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, we couldn't come back for the last 30.
Right.
Because there was no Kryptonian. Right.
But even that, like, Steppenwolf wouldn't have known who Superman
is. Maybe there was a lantern here.
Well, maybe there was a lantern. You're right.
And that's what they, and that's why they're saying, like, maybe,
you know.
Right. So. But that's why when they included the two, maybe there was a lantern. He left, and then the Kryptonian came when the lantern wasn't here.
But I feel like Steppenwolf wouldn't have even known about Superman because he was dead. He was dead, right? So. He wasn't a protector of the planet.
That was a little bit of a wonky part where, like, the mother boxes came alive because Superman was dead. Because he called out, which I thought that was a cool
scream awoke them. Like, his death scream awoke them, which I thought was kind of cool. And I liked the idea that the mother boxes were afraid of Superman. You know, like, they didn't awaken until he was dead.
But I don't know why. I don't know why they're afraid of him, because I love the explanation that they gave for what a mother box is.
Well, they're...
It's not inherently evil.
No, but they're sentient.
It's only...
Right?
Yeah, but they're... But why would it be afraid of anybody? Because all they do is what, like, the master's bidding.
Yeah.
Right? So they're only evil in the wrong hands.
Yeah.
right? So, like, what Cyborg was saying when he was explaining it, and, like, I thought they did a great job. Like, anybody can turn a house to smoke, right. But only a mother box can turn smoke back into the house. Right. So, depending on how you use them, because obviously the mother box created Cyborg. Right. So, I mean, that's why I don't really get how, like, it's not like the mother boxes are just out there waiting to do Darkseid's bidding. They're just tools.
Yeah.
And in the wrong hands, they're evil. That's what I was getting by them. That's what I've
always
thought.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're like the One Ring and they're trying to get back to their master, which is Darkseid.
Right.
You know?
Well, speaking of the ring, the ancient battle and the ring came off of, what's his name?
The Green Lantern.
The Lantern.
Tomar.
Yeah, but.
I don't know who it was. I mean, he looked like the Bird Lantern. I thought it was. Like Tomar Ree or whatever, but.
Oh, I thought it was, what's his name? Well, I can't remember his name right now. But
I don't
think
it was supposed to be a lantern that we knew. Like, it was, because it was thousands of years ago.
Yeah, and he got killed.
He gets killed, and the ring flies away to find its new master.
Right.
Now, we don't know where it went. Right. It was up in the air, but, you know, it could have not even stayed on Earth. You know, it could be anywhere.
Right. Right.
But, and then I like the, like, they make a point to say, the mother boxes have been asleep for thousands of years, right? Like, they're being guarded. They're being guarded.
I got
on,
one for you.
It's being guarded on Themyscira, right? It's in the thing. It hasn't made a peep in thousands of years, but it's being guarded by, like, 500 Amazons every day. It's like, why are you all there? Like,
not only that, is it just me? Or could this whole thing have been prevented if the Amazons didn't have a sunroof?
Yeah.
Because I love that the Amazons take and create this giant tomb for it, but put a hole in the roof. Right. And but the Atlanteans take it and bury it under the sea. I mean, you can't find it. Nobody knew, you know, Steppenwolf had no idea where that one was. Man took their box. It
just buried it like
buried
three,
in a
just,
hole in the ground.
Like 2 feet under, too. It wasn't even like.
But they. No, I know. But they did a better job hiding it than the Amazons did. If the Amazons had a roof on that place, Steppenwolf wouldn't have got the scent, wouldn't have been able to pick up the signal. Right. And take his boom tube, which that was awesome, too.
It was.
They never said boom
tube
in the entire movie. But I said it to Joe. I go, those are called boom tubes. And watch. And watching it in the theater with the subwoofers, I'm like, boom. I'm like, that's why. Because every time they showed up and took off. And it was only at the end that the boom tubes actually went the way we get them in the comics. And in like where you're looking at the front of it. You know, Steppenwolf came down like an elevator, but Darkseid actually showed himself and they sent Steppenwolf's head through on a vertical one, a horizontal tube. I don't know what you want to call it. But anyways, I thought that was hysterical that the only reason this all happened was because the Amazons had a sunroof.
Yeah, they could have guarded it a little better.
Seal the gate, but everybody out the roof. Yeah. If you want to be like, what?
But, like, even that, like, the whole battle scene on Themyscira was awesome.
That was,
like, every
awesome.
Chapter had, like, that one good action scene in it, you know what I mean? That were really pretty cool.
What did you think? I've been dying to talk to you about this. What did you think of the black suit?
Well, I liked it a lot, but I didn't understand why he still had it on at the end of the movie. You know what I mean? Like, like I know he chose that as his uniform when he was resurrected, you know. But, like, kind of in the epilogue part of the movie where he's in Metropolis, you know, and he's going back to the Daily Planet or whatever, and he runs and does the whole thing. I was surprised to see that he was still wearing the black suit. So, yeah, I don't know what the significance was with that, but... but I thought it looked great, like, you know, because it was very comic book-esque. Like, he came back in the comics and had the black suit. But he didn't keep it for,
it
was kind of like his resurrection suit, and then he moved back to the blue and red, so.
Right. So I had a take, and I talked to one of my listeners on home theater, Steve, and I told him in a DMing back and forth, I had a take on it. And in the comics, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no real reason. Like, Steve's interpretation was it was like a mourning suit. Like, he's in mourning. But there's no real defined reason on why he has a black suit. He just came out with it, correct?
Correct, right.
All right. Well, here's what I was thinking. Snyder puts this in, and we had all of the different suits that he had to choose from, right? And they had different purposes. The black suit, he takes on that suit, and then he goes up to space and does the sign of the cross again.
Well, he's absorbing absorbing solar rays. Yeah.
Right. And black is the most absorbent color, or lack of color. It's considered lack of color, but because it's a lack of color, black absorbs everything. If you wear a black t-shirt out in the sun, it's hotter than if you wear a white t-shirt. Right. White reflects everything. Black absorbs everything. So that's what I think Snyder was doing
here. Well, Snyder said, actually, that it reflected the Kryptonian ideals. Because, like, if you go back to, like, the Krypton scene in Man of Steel or whatever, it's blacks. Like, the blue and red is the human. Ma Kent put the spin on it, right? But the black is, like, the Kryptonian fashion or style or what have you. So he was, you know, his explanation was, like, it was to suit the Kryptonian roots or whatever. And what you said is, it makes sense with the sun and all that stuff, but, like, I don't know why he doesn't switch back to it. That's my thing. Like, why, I don't know why he sticks with it.
Well, it's just one scene in the movie. I mean, maybe if we get another one, maybe he will. I don't know. But he has, you know, he's got a nice wardrobe there.
Yeah, because then you see all the other suits, too, and you'll kind of like,
battle suits.
But what's weird about that is, like, wasn't that, that's Zod's ship, right?
Yeah.
So what are all those suits doing there?
They had taken it over, remember? Because he went up in Man of Steel, and he put his, like,
that's right.
Yeah. And then his father is the one that led him around the ship.
Yeah, you're right.
So once you do that, he now, it's, for all intents and purposes, his ship, too.
Because the robot was Kellex, which is, like, his robot, you know, that he has at the fortress and all that stuff. But, yeah, I was thinking, that was Zod's ship, so why are all these, like, you know, House of El armor sets here, you know?
So it's interesting you say that about Snyder saying the black suit was him,
kind of honoring the Kryptonian traditions.
Kryptonian, right? So my interpretation, and maybe I'll adjust it with that knowledge, but my interpretation was also that right before he goes to the black suit, he's out in the field and he's playing with that butterfly, right? Well, the butterfly is signifying change.
Right.
He just comes out of, for all intents and purposes, a cocoon.
Yeah,
he died.
Right, he died.
And now he's rising again up, much like Christ, which there's that parallel. But that whole butterfly change, I was thinking that he was, you know, when he died an alien son of Krypton type person.
Right.
And now he's embracing his humanity. I was going in the other direction, but maybe it's when he died unsure of himself.
Right.
He died and now he knows who he is. He's a man. He's a Kryptonian. He's this. And he's embracing it all. And that's making him the most powerful Superman.
Right.
And that's why I think the black suit makes him that much stronger, absorbing that light. And then that awesome scene of him coming in and watching it a second and partially a third time and watching Steppenwolf wield that, quote, axe throughout the movie that cuts through everything. Right. And when you're watching it a second time, you're like, oh, it goes right through that. It goes right through that. But when it hits him, hits Superman, and you just get ding.
Yeah.
And it doesn't move. And it's, oh, it's so awesome.
Well, and then there was, there's actually two things I want to get to. But the first one is going back to when he's in the field, right? And he's talking to Lois and he's talking to his mother and he says, they wanted me back for a reason, and I have to go find out what it is or something like that, right? And then he flies to Alfred to kind of find out what it is. Like, Superman can hear everything that's happening in the entire world. Like, if he wants to know what's going on and where they are, like, he just has to listen, and then he doesn't have to go ask Alfred what's going on, right? Like,
right.
There's a big...
It's not like us.
Yeah.
Let me filter through my
right.
emails.
There's a big battle going on. I'm sure if you can hear it if you try. So I was like, well, that's that's pretty cool. But then the other thing, like, going back to what you were just saying with the axe or whatever, is, like, they really leaned into, like, in Zack's version of, you know, the DCEU or whatever, like, Superman stands unparalleled in power level to anybody. Like, if you go to the comics... You know, in the comics, like, Wonder Woman is on, maybe not on exact par with Superman, but she's pretty powerful, you know what I mean?
She's powerful, yes.
But, like, in Zack's world, like, Superman stands, like, head and shoulders above everybody else. Because you have, you know, Steppenwolf just kind of laying waste to the entire Justice League, and then Cal flies in, and then just, like, just beats him like a rag doll, you know what I mean? Like, he's just tossing him around like a Raggedy Ann doll, like, you know. And I was like, well, we know who wears the pants in the Justice League in Zack Snyder's house. Because, like, Superman is it. You know, which is fine.
How about his scene with Wonder Woman? And, I mean, you and I were raised, like, you don't hit a girl.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I mean, everybody's raised that way now,
well,
too.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that's unique, but it's like, it was a big thing when we were kids. Yeah. And to see him take her and headbutt her and do, and it's like, I know it's Superman in it. He's not in his right mind, but that's just, oh my God. That was just like he's, he put her into the ground, headbutts her, but then she gets right up.
Right.
And that to me was the, I think what Superman embodies in this universe is he has all the power, and all of the other ones have some of his power, but they just can't match. Like, he's almost as fast as the Flash. He's as strong, if not stronger, than all of them. And then the other thing was cool is after he went through the Flash and Aquaman, that was fantastic when he dodges the Flash.
Yeah.
And then he takes out Aquaman. Jason Momoa is awesome in that. But then he goes toe-to-toe with all of the non-humans and kicks the crap out of them. And then he just looks at Batman.
Yeah.
And Ben Affleck is like...
Yeah. He's like,
And it's like, I love that, again, watching it a second time, you see Alfred working on the gauntlets.
Right.
And you're like, oh, that's what those are going to be for. It's like, you know, and it's, I mean, they kind of paid off in a scene before that.
They did, yeah. But...
It was the eyes, somebody's eyes, I think, or something like that. Oh, no, somebody shot a gun, like a laser.
Yeah, it was one of the parademons or something.
Yeah, parademon. Yeah. And when Superman goes at him and it's like, and he's got one left. I actually didn't mind that it was different, that Lois just happened there, because I thought that plays into the longer version.
I don't mind it. I just
I
liked
do
it
agree
a
with what
better.
You said, because Batman's supposed to be smart. You know.
Yeah, I didn't mind it, but I just think that was one thing that was in Joss's version that was better. Like, I
see,
and
I
probably the
if,
only thing that was in Joss's version that was better, but
I wonder if there's just a little bit of Snyder there going, that was good,
yeah,
I don't want to use
maybe
it because it was good, but he used it, so I don't want to use, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to be anything like that. And it,
although
and
if you listen to him, he says he's never seen that version, so he probably wouldn't even know,
but I'm sure he knows the particulars. Yeah. Because I guess his wife, well, now ex-wife, had seen it, and Christopher Nolan had seen it, and they both were like,
don't see it.
Don't.
Yeah.
You won't. And when you see this, and you see some of the exact same scenes, but they're put together differently, you're like, it's amazing what editing can
do. Right, because there was some, there was probably, I don't know, maybe this is generous, but there was probably 30 minutes of footage we had already seen in this movie out of 4 hours.
I think there was more than
I don't know
that.
If there
I
was
there
maybe
was
40 minutes. Like, it was pretty much a new movie. Now,
but it was expanded. The story take that Wonder Woman scene.
Right, the story wasn't drastically different, but the scenes in the footage we saw were very, very different.
Right. What about the development? Not just the costume, but the development of Steppenwolf. You actually felt for
him. Yeah, and he looked much better. I mean, the costume, first of all, looked...
I loved his costume, and, like, he could actually... It would, like, come out.
The thing
stuff.
Is, he now had a reason, right? Like, exactly. He had a reason to be...
He just wanted to go home.
He had motivation, and he was... Right, he was more realized as a character. Whereas in the other version, you're kind of like, I don't really know what he wants. I don't really know what's going on here.
You really didn't even know what a mother box was in the first one. I mean, this one, even if you've never heard of a mother box before, you understand its purpose in the universe, you know, in the DC universe.
The other thing that kind of bugs me, especially since he had 4 hours to tell in this movie, right? And we've already established that there was things he could have cut out of it to make it less. But there's no... like, we got solo movies for Superman and, like, Batman or BVS prior to this. So, and Wonder Woman. We knew who they all were, and we knew how they got to be. We got a very good origin story for Cyborg, basically, in this movie. But we still don't know anything about Barry. Like, why is Barry the Flash? How did he get to be the Flash?
Well, but he hasn't had his movie.
Well, right, but... We spent this whole movie and, like, if you're a comic book fan, Barry gets his powers from the crime lab that he works at as, you know, a crime tech. In this movie, he's never been that yet. He gets the job at the end of the movie. So I was like, in all this time, they couldn't have given us at least a snippet of Barry getting his powers, like, how did he get those abilities? You know, I mean, I don't know. I just figured we went to all the trouble to set up Cyborg and everybody else. So, but Barry's just Barry. Like, we'd have no idea how he got to be the way he is or why he is.
But we also don't have a Cyborg movie coming either.
No, but when this movie was being shot, in theory, we didn't know we were getting a Flash movie in 2017 either. You know, like,
I thought we did. I thought we knew we were getting a Wonder Woman. I thought we knew we were getting a...
I don't know if we
had already had Wonder Woman.
Right, but I don't know if we knew before.
We knew we were getting an Aquaman and a Flashpoint. I thought we knew that during
this
movie. I don't
remember, but I...
Yeah. But I'd never heard of a Cyborg movie.
What?
I still have.
Oh, no, there was a Cyborg movie. Yeah, there was an announced Cyborg movie. But I think they all came about after... At least after this movie, maybe not after it debuted, because the movie debuting is what killed all those other movies. But while it was being filmed, I guess they were talking about that. But
well, and that's what I thought about, like, Flashpoint. And a lot of people were talking, especially after this, it's like we knew we were getting a Flash movie, and then it was after this and not doing very well. They were like, well, the Flash movie could be a Flashpoint to reset the DCEU. Right. That's where those rumors came from, and like, that's where my memory goes for the chatter. I don't really remember a lot of Cyborg chatter.
Well, there,
but to be fair, Cyborg had a very, very small part in the first, and so did the Flash.
Well, but that wasn't the intent, though. That wasn't Zack's intent.
No,
you know that
no.
was
no.
that was Joss's no. doing or the studio's doing or what have you. But there was talk of a Cyborg movie. I definitely remember that. It was on one of the, you know, the timelines that they put out back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely understand where Ray Fisher's coming from, you know, now.
Oh,
because, you know, he put a lot of work into this movie and was essentially cut out of it. So, you know.
I'd say Ezra Miller was, too. I mean, a lot of his got cut out. I mean, the whole... It's funny, we talked about Iris last week and getting that role, and nowhere in the movie does it even say that's Iris. We just know
it. And honestly, she served no... Like, she didn't have to be there either. Like, that really served no purpose at all.
Well, you know what it did do? It showed it showed his abilities. It showed that he was more than we knew in the first one. In the original Justice League, he barely did anything. And the other thing, you know what I really like? That hot dog.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, that's pretty significant, because he's always late, which is, that's Barry, right? So he shows up late to this thing, to his job interview at a pet shop. And then that accident happens, and it's just to demonstrate his abilities. He goes out and he saves her. We get the music playing in the background. We get the whole thing. He puts her down. I love how in all of his slow motion scenes, he touches things very gently. Because in real life, if he, like, at real speed, he'd be breaking people's necks if he just grabbed them and pulled them out. So he moved her very gently, moved some hair away from her face and everything. But all the while, he takes and grabs this hot dog out of the air, puts it in his pocket. And why I think that's significant is that shows, like, his super speed thinking. Because he knows that when this is all over, which is taking place in less than a millisecond, right? He's got to go back and have a reason for being there. And he puts that in his pocket and goes in and pretends the blast knocked him into the animals. And, oh, look, I happen to carry a hot dog with me for the pet.
Yeah.
And
is that not creepy, though? Like from the perspective of the job owner, it's like, why are you just walking around with meat in your pocket? You know what I mean? It's like...
But you know what I mean? But he's thinking that many moves ahead. He's thinking that fast. And I think, I mean, all of that is so cool because that's the stuff that you get in the comics when you're reading and you're reading thoughts. But they played that in there. And I thought that was so cool. And I saw a lot of people talking about, like, oh, you had to get the hot dog too? And I'm like, yeah, that's what shows how fast he can think and how smart he is. And I thought that this... also showed how much smarter he was than he, you know, compared to the first one. The first one, he was the court jester.
You know what? I just remembered the other piece of news that I had forgotten earlier. Recast Barry's. Did you see they recast Barry's dad for the Flashpoint?
Oh, no, I did.
Ron Livingston.
Last week we talked.
Livingston was cast as Barry's dad for the movie. So. It just popped into my head because we were talking about Barry, but So that's cool.
Cool. Let's see. Oh, I made a statement in my other podcast, and I've said it to other people privately. I want to talk to you about it. Is this the biggest streaming event ever? I'm not arguing. I'm putting it out there. Maybe we'll argue, but I'm trying to think of something bigger as a streaming event, as a one-time event. And in my home theater one, the only thing I could compare it to was the end of Mandalorian season 2 with Luke showing up, but spoiler for anybody that hasn't seen that.
Yeah, but I don't know.
But that was a one scene thing. This was a giant event, a 4-hour movie that love it, hate it, or even if you don't know about it, you knew about it. And as a streaming event, can you think of
what's the criteria? Because as I said earlier, like, Wonder Woman had more viewers. Like, so, like, you could argue that Wonder Woman was, because, again, go back to Christmas Day now, at the time, That was a big deal. That was a big budget theatrical movie
film
that debuted on streaming. So
that's a great point. And at the time, that was the biggest event, because that was the first time a big budget movie was released for free. Right. We had Mulan.
We had Mulan, but you had to pay $30 for it.
But you had to pay $30, and that was
What I'm saying. What's the criteria to dethrone Wonder Woman? Is it that it was 4 hours long? Or because it didn't have more viewers than Wonder Woman. So.
But not only that, though, play into the fact that maybe it doesn't have as many viewers. But have you ever seen a director's cut do a 180 like this? There's
the fact that this movie exists.
There's so much history. Right.
The fact that this even exists is a huge thing. But I don't tie that into specifically streaming. if they had put it in a theater, it would still be a big deal. You know,
it would, but it wasn't. So it is a streaming event. So that's why I put it to that. And I'm like, it is the biggest streaming event. It has so much history behind it. It has so much. And what I'm saying is where I'm saying, I'm like, I'm not trying to argue. I'm saying, give me something bigger and maybe say why. And I'm not trying to say it that in a mean way. Like, come on, you can't.
No,
do
I'm
it.
Not.
But you're right.
I'm not arguing either. That's why I'm saying, what's the criteria to be number one? Because
I'm just trying to think of something comparable.
Well, just that, just that's it. Like Wonder Woman, and maybe the end of Mandalorian, like you said. But even that, the end of Mandalorian is different in the sense that we weren't anticipating that because we didn't know we were going to get it. So it ended up being a big deal after the fact. But I don't know if it was. We weren't anticipating that episode like we were Wonder Woman or the Snyder Cut.
The Snyder Cut is literally 5 years in the making. It had, you know, a completely different version came out because of, you know, some pretty dramatic history involved there. Then it took, you know, a groundswell of fans to get it even made. The 4 hour version, the Snyder Cut, and then it comes out. So there's so much depth to the story. There's so many things to talk about without even talking about the actual 4 hours. And that's why I say, like, that's why I ask the question, because, like, you're right. Wonder Woman was a big deal, but the depth of that story, it begins and ends with it being a theatrical release that couldn't come out because of COVID. And then we got to see it for free on HBO Max. Right. And oh, by the way, it's not even close to as good
as... Oh, well, it wasn't. It wasn't even as good as the Snyder Cut. Like, it was...
That's what I'm saying. It definitely wasn't as good as the first Wonder Woman.
And it wasn't good as good as this. It was actually a pretty terrible movie. But in the terms of, you know, the size of the event, it still ranks as, you know, a pretty big deal. But yeah, I don't know. Again,
but I
it
think
just,
this beats
it. That's what I mean. It just depends on what your criteria is. And when it comes to...
And going forward, how do you top it? Because you'd have to have a movie with that much history behind it getting remade. You know what I mean? Like, let's take a really big movie, screw it up.
Well, I say you top it by remastering and putting the original cuts of the Star Wars trilogy on Disney Plus. That's how you top it, you know?
You're right.
That's the only way. That's the only way you top it. You know.
Yeah, yeah. That's. But to be fair, I don't even know if that would top it because we've all
seen it. Well, actually, we haven't all seen
and
it.
We have.
You and I have
well,
seen
we
it.
Have
if you were born after like 1987, good luck seeing it. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't exist anymore. So
right.
I mean, you can go get DVDs on eBay and stuff, but you know, I would argue that a lot of people that are less than 30 have never seen the original cuts of Star Wars, you know?
Right.
So
right. But yeah, that could be a big event. But I still think it does that has some depth to the story, but I just don't, you know. But yeah, that's why I said that. And the last one, what did you think of the aspect ratio?
I didn't like it actually.
Really?
Well, it's fine, but it didn't translate as well on my TV as it probably did for you. You know, like
It's definitely a large.
It's a large screen thing, and you built your masking. You were able to put that stuff up, and you know it translated better for you than it did on my 77-inch TV. Once I got 15-20 minutes into the movie, it just didn't matter any like it. It was just a thing, you know, and it didn't really bother me, but it did stand out in the beginning, and I actually didn't love it. Because there was too much of my screen not being used.
Do you know what? I did the measurements. Did you see my tweet?
No.
It's the exact same amount of screen as when you have the bars at the top and bottom.
I guess, but it feels different. Right, but it feels different when you're watching it.
It's vertical. Yeah. It's vertical. Right. But see, what I like about it is, I mean, and when I say it's exact down to the square inch. It's the exact same number. I just added up. I made the two, I have two sets of masking for that And I measured them and multiplied, and there you go. And it's the exact same amount. So you're getting the same amount of light on your screen, the same picture. But when you go back and I watched a few other movies in the regular with the bars at the top and the bottom. Okay. Like an Endgame or Wonder Woman 1984. You put those on. They don't, superhero movies, that is, they don't feel as dramatic.
You think?
Because he's right. It's like I love the composition. There's a bunch of scenes in it too. And when I do my breakdown of the 4K version, I'll mention these scenes on my home theater podcast. But the composition in the long way, some of the shots of even like Wonder Woman, like Gal Gadot, and like they're awesome shots. Superman, Batman. I mean, they take up the full height of the screen. And to be honest with you, if you gave more picture to the side, it just distracts from the great picture you're getting.
Because all
in
you're
the middle.
Getting is more buildings. Yeah,
exactly. And you don't want that. You want that superhero there. And I'll agree with you that majority of the population has, 70 inches on down. Right. So
doesn't play as well.
It doesn't play as well. But in reality, it's like, I mean, the best screen is the full 16:9 because you can really enjoy that. But when you block out the sides like that, it gives you that taller version. It gives you that. I almost wanted to do a version like sit in my front row. I have two rows of seats in my theater. Sit in the front row and really look up at that screen and give it that big. And I'm closer. Give it that big view. But I kind of like it, especially artistically. And you're right. As a bigger screen at 110, it's you do get that grand height and vision. But I don't. And like I said, it's the exact same amount of picture as bars at top and bottom, So I like the first Avengers movie it's the 185 aspect ratio. So you have really thin lines I love that picture compared to any of the other Avenger movies, Ultron, both Endgame and Infinity War are the 239 ratio with the bars at the top and bottom. And I don't like that. I find the first Avengers movie more engaging because it's the full screen. I know they shot Infinity War at the full IMAX. Right. I'm sorry, Endgame. I think they shot both of them. I'm hoping they release those someday. But I love what Snyder did here. And I hope more people do it, especially with superhero movies. And we get to see it in the theaters. And I'd love to be able to have the option to get that in my home too, especially now that I have the mask.
Yeah.
All right. Anything? I mean, I know we left something
out.
It's
left
4-hour
I'm sure we left a lot out. Well, actually, I guess, what did you make of Lois being pregnant and the whole,
well, she's not.
Zach confirmed.
Who said
Zach.
She was?
Oh, Zach really? Says she's pregnant.
I did get the pregnancy test. And the, I always thought the congratulations in the
movie. That's what I was going to say.
Was the wedding?
It's
or,
not the ring. He's congratulating her for being pregnant.
That's what I thought that, but they left it ambiguous.
Zach confirmed it though. Like the movie doesn't confirm it itself.
That's cool.
It's Bruce's baby. Was Zach's intent? So,
oh boy,
they just didn't include that.
That's why he bought the
Clark's
bank.
Dead. Because
he's about to buy the farm.
Clark's dead. Lois is grieving. One thing leads to another. but that was his intent. That was Zach's original intent. That just didn't make it into the cut.
I knew their intent was them to get together, but I heard the version was it was like unrequited.
Yeah.
Bruce, had feelings for Lois, but she never reciprocated.
Well, that's the whole thing, and I am glad they didn't make that part of the story, because I don't like that part of it. So we're going to assume that it's Cal's baby, but she is pregnant. Yeah, but she was pregnant in that movie. And again, that storyline that we could have explored going forward, right? And somebody said that, I didn't see this, maybe you did, because you've seen it more than once, but somebody said at the end when they were moving back into Martha's house or whatever, there was like a bassinet or something. So I didn't see that, but somebody, I'll have to watch it again and look for it. But although I don't know why they'd be moving it into Martha's house, because they're not, well, it is grandma though, so maybe
yeah, she said to have that's one, true.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting that.
They hung on that too, and on the end table.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
With
that
the pregnancy
they,
test,
they really made a point, because that's what I was saying to Lydia at first. I was like, "That's odd. Like, what's with the pregnancy test in the drawer?" You know,
right?
And then I read after the fact that, you know, Zach did confirm in an article somewhere that she was pregnant in the movie. It just didn't go anywhere because, you know, maybe it's in the 6-hour cut.
Right.
I don't know. But then he talked about how his plan was for it to be, you know, was for it to be Bruce's. So.
See that you don't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't need to go there. I'm glad they didn't go there, because that would have caused all kinds of problems. That's why you get Dark Superman at the end of that movie, because he kills Lois and then he kills Bruce. You know, but and even that, like, what'd you make of, like, he's working with Darkseid and he's working with the Joker, and he talks about when Harley Quinn died in my arms, and is like. There's a whole mythos going on there.
Batman?
Yeah, that we just didn't see.
Well, I think
it's like.
Yeah, but that's what the Joker said. What Jared Leto was saying there is, like, he goes, in all of the alternate universes you've explored, when do we get to the one where it's okay for you to die? Right? Like, everybody's died in all of these universes. So whatever dream sequence this is, it's an alternate universe. Right. You know, which I thought that was cool how they introduced that, because in the first part of the epilogue, we go to what we got originally in the Joss Whedon version. And that was, you know, Deathstroke showing up
on Lex's,
with boat, Lex.
Right. Although in the Joss version, he doesn't drop Bruce's name. Yeah.
No. The Joss version's very short. You just see it's Deathstroke.
And
they just,
yeah.
I think, like, Lex smiles and it goes away. It's over. And then in this one, you get a much more developed story. Not a ton more, but more. And now you see Deathstroke working
with Batman. Right. Well, because
in the next part of the
epilogue. It's the end of the world, so, you know, that makes for strange allies, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They have
also an alternate universe.
Well,
though.
But they have bigger fish to fry. Like, there's no time for Deathstroke and Batman to be fighting each other when Superman's wiping out the planet. So, you know.
Right.
It makes for, like I said, it makes for strange bedfellows. But.
Yeah, I like Flash's getup.
Yeah.
Is that got the armor on? The chink? It's
like, but, you know, like, Diana wasn't anywhere around there. So you're kind of like, well, where's she?
Right. Aquaman's
dead. Again, I guess you know Harley's dead, which has to be the Margot Robbie.
In that seat, Harley's gone, and how about that? You thought you were gonna get the movie. We got the F-bomb, and then at the end, how about Batman saying that? And that's when I knew. I'm like, okay, this is an alternate universe, because one, Batman doesn't kill, and he doesn't threaten to kill. But even that, it was like Joker was like, ha ha, you almost got me there. And he was like, oh, well, like, he's not going to kill him. Even in that universe, he just was trying to threaten him to. But
I didn't love Batman dropping the F-bomb, to be honest with you. Like, and I know you're going to say, coming from me, that's strange, but I don't know. I didn't love it.
No, not at all.
I was like,
no, I know, because it's not him.
It's just,
but
like,
I think he was trying. It sounds dumb, because I think it's an alternate universe, so he can do whatever he wants. But at the same time, I don't think, even if it wasn't an alternate universe, I think that was like a Batman just trying to threaten. He's trying to pull out a different, you know, be different.
Well, I don't know that,
because I don't think he had any intentions
universe,
of killing
maybe
him.
But it's just his dream. Like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't, like, he's not dreaming in alternate universes. He's dreaming in his own, like, he's dreaming his own future, you know? So.
Right. But that, what I'm saying is, the Joker introduced the alternate universe line. He's the one that said it. So that just introduces that to this whole story. Yeah. Like, there's multiple universes. And, I mean, Batman's even dreaming about multiple universes here. So, who knows? And, you know, post-apocalyptic stories, those are
my
favorite.
You know, I can't wait to see that, but...
So, all right. We good? We can always pick it up more.
Well, I mean, again, like you said, this. I'm sure there's a ton of meat still on the bone, but I can't think of anything, really.
I know. And as soon as we stop, I'll be like, oh!
Yeah, I know. There was stuff we should have said. You know, it's like...
All right.
I hate listening back to the shows and thinking of things I should have said during the show.
Right.
I was like... And now I can't even remember what it was, but I was when I was listening back to last week's show, I was like, man, that would have been really clever. I should have said that, but I'm not smart enough to think of it in the moment.
It's not clever days later.
And it's like, dang, I should have said that. You know?
We're quick like turtles.
So, yeah, I'm sure when I'm listening back to this, I'll think of something else that I should have said, but I can't think of it now, so...
So we'll talk about it next week.
If I can remember what it was.
Justice is Gray.
Oh. I'm sure you'll watch it again because you'll have to see it in gray.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'm interested to see how that plays out. I mean, it was practically gray
now. That's what I'm saying. I don't know how much grayer it can get, but.
Take out
speaking of color being washed out, though, and this doesn't have anything to do with Zach's decision, I guess, but. I liked Mira a lot better. I thought Mira looked way better in this than she did in...
Yeah.
Like, that red hair they had her in the Aquaman movie. Mm. I thought she looked much better in this movie.
And she's out.
Now, she's done. What about the whole... you know, I like that they expanded on the... You know, putting them in a water bubble so they could talk, you know, underwater. Which makes sense, right? Like, honestly, it makes sense. But, like... The weird, like, dolphin cries they were doing outside of the bubble, I thought was weird.
Right.
Like, I don't know what's going on here. And, like, who taught Arthur how to do that? Like, you know, I thought that was a little strange. But,
yeah, a little more depth to that story than we really needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, like, they did expand more on Arthur, but. We really didn't need it because we'd had an Aquaman
and that was the other thing too.
And all that all that depth did was kind of ruin the.
It
kind of
did because that's what I was just going to say too. Like he's hanging around his dad's statue in this movie, but like he didn't even know that existed in the Aquaman movie. So it's
right.
Like, why?
Well, that's not his dad. That's just the previous ruler. His dad is the dad. No.
Oh, you're right. Well, I guess it was his.
Yeah, his mom wasn't pregnant.
But it was his mom's.
No, his dad
husband,
right? Is human.
Yeah, but it was his mom's.
Yeah,
husband.
The mom's.
The king, right? The former king, whatever. But either way,
king,
whoever
it
was, he was hanging out there, but shouldn't have really known where that was or anything. So it did.
Right.
It did kind of mess up the continuity of Aquaman a little bit.
I like the line that he did say, though, when they're like, what's the advantage of being up there? Yeah. It's like, nobody thinks of me as king of the surface.
Yeah.
He's like, he just didn't want the pressure. He's like, I don't want this. All right.
All right. Yeah. I think we beat that dead horse. We beat that horse enough. So.
I don't think it's
we beat
horse
the horse
at
enough.
All.
I think
that's
the we
thing
killed
is
the
we
horse.
Could just keep on going. Oh, the poor horses. In the battle with the Atlanteans.
Oh, the...
With the Amazons.
Yeah. Well, you always feel for... I always feel for the animals anyways.
Yeah. So. We needed crypto to come in. So, all right. Let's get out of here. Any other questions, just hit us up on Twitter and we'll get back to you. We'll talk about it next week,
I'm sure.
Martin
will ask me why I hate the DCEU. So...